The Imitation of Christ. Thomas A. Kempis. This volume is from the Christian Classic Collection, published by BSB Publishing, LLC. Copyright 2025 by BSB Publishing, LLC. Thomas A. Kempis. Thomas A. Kempis, circa 1380 to 1471, was a German-Dutch monk, theologian, and spiritual writer best known for his timeless masterpiece, The Imitation of Christ, one of the most widely read Christian devotional books in history. Born in Kempen, Germany, he joined the Brothers of the Common Life in Deventer, a community that emphasized humility, education, and living a Christ-centered life. Later, he became a monk at the Augustinian canons of Mount St. Agnes near Zwolle, where he spent much of his life in prayer, study, and writing. His works reflect deep inner devotion, self-denial, and love for solitude. Through The Imitation of Christ, Thomas A. Kempis inspired countless believers to pursue simplicity, humility, and a closer walk with God. His words continue to echo across centuries, reminding readers that true peace is found in imitating the life and heart of Jesus Christ. Preface. The treatise of The Imitation of Christ appears to have been originally written in Latin early in the 15th century. Its exact date and its authorship are still a matter of debate. Manuscripts of the Latin version survive in considerable numbers all over Western Europe, and they, with the vast list of translations and of printed editions, testify to its almost unparalleled popularity. One scribe attributes it to St. Bernard of Clairvaux, but the fact that it contains a quotation from St. Francis of Assisi, who was born 30 years after the death of St. Bernard, disposes of this theory. In England, there exist many manuscripts of the first three books, called Musica Ecclesiastica, frequently ascribed to the English mystic Walter Hilton, but Hilton seems to have died in 1395, and there is no evidence of the existence of the work before 1400. Many manuscripts scattered throughout Europe ascribe the book to Jean Le Charlier de Gerson, the great chancellor of the University of Paris, who was a leading figure in the church in the earlier part of the 15th century. The most probable author, however, especially when the internal evidence is considered, is Thomas Hemmerlein, known also as Thomas A. Kempis, from his native town of Kempen, near the Rhine, about 40 miles north of Cologne. Hemmerlein, who was born in 1379 or 1380, was a member of the Order of the Brothers of Common Life, and spent the last 70 years of his life at Mount St. Agnes, a monastery of Augustinian canons in the Diocese of Utrecht. Here he died on July 26, 1471, after an uneventful life spent in copying manuscripts, reading and composing, and in the peaceful routine of monastic piety. With the exception of the Bible, no Christian writing has had so wide a vogue or so sustained a popularity as this. And yet, in one sense, it is hardly an original work at all. Its structure it owes largely to the writings of the medieval mystics, and its ideas and phrases are a mosaic from the Bible and the fathers of the early church. But these elements are interwoven with such delicate skill and a religious feeling at once so ardent and so sound, that it promises to remain, what it has been for 500 years, the supreme call and guide to spiritual aspiration. Introduction. The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis is a spiritual classic that has guided millions of believers for over six centuries. Written in the early 15th century, this profound work calls every reader to a life of humility, simplicity, and deep inner devotion to God. More than just a book, it is a personal companion for the soul longing to grow in faith and holiness. Thomas A. Kempis writes with heartfelt sincerity, urging us to turn away from worldly distractions and focus on the eternal example of Jesus Christ. Each page shines with timeless wisdom about surrender, discipline, and the quiet strength found in obedience and love. What makes this masterpiece so powerful is its intimate tone. It feels as though a gentle mentor is speaking directly to your heart. Whether read for personal reflection, meditation, or spiritual renewal, The Imitation of Christ continues to inspire people across generations to seek God not merely in grand acts, but in the humble rhythm of daily life. The First Book. Admonitions Profitable for the Spiritual Life. Chapter 1. Of the Imitation of Christ and of Contempt of the World and All Its Vanities. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, one, saith the Lord. These are the words of Christ, and they teach us how far we must imitate his life and character if we seek true illumination and deliverance from all blindness of heart. Let it be our most earnest study, therefore, to dwell upon the life of Jesus Christ. 2. His teaching surpasseth all teaching of holy men, and such as have his Spirit find therein the hidden manner. But there are many who, though they frequently hear the gospel, yet feel but little longing after it because they have not the mind of Christ. He, therefore, that will fully and with true wisdom understand the words of Christ, let him strive to conform his whole life to that mind of Christ. 3. What doth it profit thee to enter into deep discussion concerning the Holy Trinity, if thou lack humility and be thus displeasing to the Trinity? For verily it is not deep words that make a man holy and upright. It is a good life which maketh a man dear to God. I had rather feel contrition than be skilful in the definition thereof. If thou knewest the whole Bible, and the sayings of all the philosophers, what should all this profit thee without the love and grace of God? Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, save to love God, and him only to serve. That is the highest wisdom, to cast the world behind us, and to reach forward to the heavenly kingdom. 4. It is vanity then to seek after and to trust in the riches that shall perish. It is vanity, too, to covet honors, and to lift up ourselves on high. It is vanity to follow the desires of the flesh, and be led by them, for this shall bring misery at the last. It is vanity to desire a long life, and to have little care for a good life. It is vanity to take thought only for the life which now is, and not to look forward to the things which shall be hereafter. It is vanity to love that which quickly passeth away, and not to hasten where eternal joy abideth. 5. Be oft times mindful of the saying, 3. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear with hearing. Strive, therefore, to turn away thy heart from the love of the things that are seen, and to set it upon the things that are not seen. For they who follow after their own fleshly lusts defile the conscience, and destroy the grace of God. 1. John 8, verse 12. 2. Revelation 2, verse 17. 3. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8. Chapter 2 of Thinking Humbly of Oneself. There is naturally in every man a desire to know, but what profiteth knowledge without the fear of God? Better of a surety is a lowly peasant who serveth God than a proud philosopher who watcheth the stars and neglecteth the knowledge of himself. He who knoweth himself well is vile in his own sight, neither regardeth he the praises of men. If I knew all the things that are in the world and were not in charity, what should it help me before God who is to judge me according to my deeds? 2. Rest from inordinate desire of knowledge, for therein is found much distraction and deceit. Those who have knowledge desire to appear learned and to be called wise. Many things there are to know which profiteth little or nothing to the soul. And foolish out of measure is he who attendeth upon other things rather than those which serve to his soul's health. Many words satisfy not the soul, but a good life refresheth the mind, and a pure conscience giveth great confidence towards God. 3. The greater and more complete thy knowledge, the more severely shalt thou be judged, unless thou hast lived holily. Therefore be not lifted up by any skill or knowledge that thou hast, but rather fear concerning the knowledge which is given to thee. If it seemeth to thee that thou knowest many things, and understandest them well, know also that there are many more things which thou knowest not. Be not high-minded, but rather confess thine ignorance. Why desirest thou to lift thyself above another, when there are found many more learned and more skilled in the Scripture than thou? If thou wilt know and learn anything with profit, love to be thyself unknown and to be counted for nothing. 4. That is the highest and most profitable lesson when a man truly knoweth and judgeth lowly of himself. To account nothing of one's self and to think always kindly and highly of others, this is great and perfect wisdom. Even shouldest thou see thy neighbor sin openly or grievously, yet thou oughtest not to reckon thyself better than he, for thou knowest not how long thou shalt keep thine integrity. All of us are weak and frail. Hold thou no man more frail than thyself. Chapter 3. Of the Knowledge of Truth. Happy is the man whom truth by itself doth teach, not by figures and transient words, but as it is in itself. 1. Our own judgment and feelings often deceive us, and we discern but little of the truth. What doth it profit to argue about hidden and dark things, concerning which we shall not be even reproved in the judgment, because we knew them not? O grievous folly, to neglect the things which are profitable and necessary, and to give our minds to things which are curious and hurtful, having eyes we see not. 2. And what have we to do with talk about genus and species? He to whom the eternal word speaketh is free from multiplied questionings. From this one word are all things, and all things speak of him, and this is the beginning which also speaketh unto us. 2. No man without him understandeth or rightly judgeth. The man to whom all things are one, who bringeth all things to one, who seeth all things in one, he is able to remain steadfast of spirit and at rest in God. O God, who art the truth, make me one with thee in everlasting love. It wearieth me oftentimes to read and listen to many things. In thee is all that I wish for and desire. Let all the doctors hold their peace. Let all creation keep silence before thee. Speak thou alone to me. 3. The more a man hath unity and simplicity in himself, the more things and the deeper things he understandeth, and that without labor, because he receiveth the light of understanding from above. The spirit which is pure, sincere, and steadfast is not distracted though it hath many works to do, because it doth all things to the honor of God, and striveth to be free from all thoughts of self-seeking. Who is so full of hindrance and annoyance to thee as thine own undisciplined heart? A man who is good and devout arrangeth beforehand within his own heart the works which he hath to do abroad, and so is not drawn away by the desires of his evil will, but subjecteth everything to the judgment of right reason. Who hath a harder battle to fight than he who striveth for self-mastery? And this should be our endeavor, even to master self, and thus daily to grow stronger than self, and go on unto perfection. 4. All perfection hath some imperfection joined to it in this life, and all our power of sight is not without some darkness. A lowly knowledge of thyself is a surer way to God than the deep searching of man's learning. Not that learning is to be blamed, nor the taking account of anything that is good, but a good conscience and a holy life is better than all. And because many seek knowledge rather than good living, therefore they go astray and bear little or no fruit. 5. Oh, if they would give that diligence to the rooting out of vice and the planting of virtue which they give unto vain questionings, there had not been so many evil doings and stumbling blocks among the laity, nor such ill living among houses of religion. Of a surety at the day of judgment it will be demanded of us, not what we have read, but what we have done, not how well we have spoken, but how holily we have lived. Tell me, where now are all those masters and teachers whom thou knewest well whilst they were yet with you and flourished in learning? Their stalls are now filled by others, who perhaps never have one thought concerning them. Whilst they lived they seemed to be somewhat, but now no one speaks of them. 6. Oh, how quickly passeth the glory of the world away! Would that their life and knowledge had agreed together! For then would they have read and inquired unto good purpose. How many perish through empty learning in this world who care little for serving God! And because they love to be great more than to be humble, therefore they have become vain in their imaginations. He only is truly great who hath great charity. He is truly great who deemeth himself small and counteth all height of honor as nothing. He is the truly wise man who counteth all earthly things as dung that he may win Christ. And he is the truly learned man who doeth the will of God and forsaketh his own will. 1. Psalm 94 verse 12, Numbers 12 verse 8, 2. John 8 verse 25, Vulg. Chapter 4 of Prudence in Action. We must not trust every word of others or feeling within ourselves, but cautiously and patiently try the matter whether it be of God. Unhappily we are so weak that we find it easier to believe and speak evil of others rather than good. But they that are perfect do not give ready heed to every news-bearer, for they know man's weakness that it is prone to evil and unstable in words. 2. This is great wisdom, not to be hasty in action or stubborn in our own opinions. A part of this wisdom also is not to believe every word we hear, nor to tell others all that we hear, even though we believe it. Take counsel with a man who is wise and of a good conscience, and seek to be instructed by one better than thyself, rather than to follow thine own inventions. A good life maketh a man wise toward God, and giveth him experience in many things. The more humble a man is in himself, and the more obedient towards God, the wiser will he be in all things, and the more shall his soul be at peace. Chapter 5 of the Reading of Holy Scriptures. Whensoever a man desireth aught above measure, immediately he becometh restless. The proud and the avaricious man are never at rest, while the poor and lowly of heart abide in the multitude of peace. The man who is not yet wholly dead to self is soon tempted, and is overcome in small and trifling matters. It is hard for him who is weak in spirit, and still in part carnal and inclined to the pleasures of sense, to withdraw himself altogether from earthly desires. And therefore, when he withdraweth himself from these, he is often sad, and easily angered too, if any oppose his will. 2. But if, on the other hand, he yield to his inclination, immediately he is weighed down by the condemnation of his conscience, for that he hath followed his own desire, and yet in no way attained the peace which he hoped for. For true peace of heart is to be found in resisting passion, not in yielding to it. And therefore there is no peace in the heart of a man who is carnal, nor in him who is given up to the things that are without him, but only in him who is fervent towards God and living the life of the Spirit. Chapter 6. Of inordinate affections. Vain is the life of that man who putteth his trust in men or in any created thing. Be not ashamed to be the servant of others for the love of Jesus Christ, and to be reckoned poor in this life. Rest not upon thyself, but build thy hope in God. Do what lieth in thy power, and God will help thy good intent. Trust not in thy learning, nor in the cleverness of any that lives, but rather trust in the favor of God, who resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 2. Boast not thyself in thy riches, if thou hast them, nor in thy friends, if they be powerful, but in God, who giveth all things, and in addition to all things desireth to give even himself. Be not lifted up because of thy strength or beauty of body, for with only a slight sickness it will fail and wither away. Be not vain of thy skilfulness or ability, lest thou displease God, from whom cometh every good gift which we have. 3. Count not thyself better than others, lest perchance thou appear worse in the sight of God, who knoweth what is in man. Be not proud of thy good works, for God's judgments are of another sort than the judgments of man, and what pleaseth man is ofttimes displeasing to him. If thou hast any good, believe that others have more, and so thou mayest preserve thy humility. It is no harm to thee if thou place thyself below all others, but it is great harm if thou place thyself above even one. Peace is ever with the humble man, but in the heart of the proud there is envy and continual wrath. Chapter 7. Of fleeing from vain hope and pride. Vain is the life of that man who putteth his trust in men or in any created thing. Be not ashamed to be the servant of others for the love of Jesus Christ, and to be reckoned poor in this life. Rest not upon thyself, but build thy hope in God. Do what lieth in thy power, and God will help thy good intent. Trust not in thy learning, nor in the cleverness of any that lives, but rather trust in the favor of God, who resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. 2. Boast not thyself in thy riches if thou hast them, nor in thy friends if they be powerful, but in God who giveth all things, and in addition to all things desireth to give even himself. Be not lifted up because of thy strength or beauty of body, for with only a slight sickness it will fail and wither away. Be not vain of thy skilfulness or ability, lest thou displease God from whom cometh every good gift which we have. 3. Count not thyself better than others, lest perchance thou appear worse in the sight of God, who knoweth what is in man. Be not proud of thy good works, for God's judgments are of another sort than the judgments of man, and what pleaseth man is ofttimes displeasing to him. If thou hast any good, believe that others have more, and so thou mayest preserve thy humility. It is no harm to thee if thou place thyself below all others, but it is great harm if thou place thyself above even one. Peace is ever with the humble man, but in the heart of the proud there is envy and continual wrath. Chapter 8. Of the danger of too much familiarity. Open not thine heart to every man, but deal with one who is wise and feareth God. Be seldom with the young and with strangers. Be not a flatterer of the rich, nor willingly seek the society of the great. Let thy company be the humble and the simple, the devout and the gentle, and let thy discourse be concerning things which edify. Be not familiar with any woman, but commend all good women alike unto God. Choose for thy companions God and his angels only, and flee from the notice of men. 2. We must love all men, but not make close companions of all. It sometimes falleth out that one who is unknown to us is highly regarded through good report of him, whose actual person is nevertheless unpleasing to those who behold it. We sometimes think to please others by our intimacy, and forthwith displease them the more by the faultiness of character which they perceive in us. Chapter 9. Of Obedience and Subjection. It is verily a great thing to live in obedience, to be under authority, and not to be at our own disposal. Far safer is it to live in subjection than in a place of authority. Many are in obedience from necessity rather than from love. These take it amiss and repine for small cause. Nor will they gain freedom of spirit, unless with all their heart they submit themselves for the love of God. Though thou run hither and thither, thou wilt not find peace save in humble subjection to the authority of him who is set over thee. Fancies about places and change of them have deceived many. 2. True it is that every man willingly followeth his own bent, and is the more inclined to those who agree with him. But if Christ is amongst us, then it is necessary that we sometimes yield up our own opinion for the sake of peace. Who is so wise as to have perfect knowledge of all things? Therefore trust not too much to thine own opinion, but be ready also to hear the opinions of others. Though thine own opinion be good, yet if for the love of God thou forgoest it, and followest that of another, thou shalt the more profit thereby. 3. Oft times I have heard that it is safer to hearken and to receive counsel than to give it. It may also come to pass that each opinion may be good, but to refuse to hearken to others when reason or occasion requireth it is a mark of pride or willfulness. Chapter 10. Of the Danger of Superfluity of Words. Avoid as far as thou canst the tumult of men, for talk concerning worldly things, though it be innocently undertaken, is a hindrance, so quickly are we led captive and defiled by vanity. Many a time I wish that I had held my peace and had not gone amongst men. But why do we talk and gossip so continually, seeing that we so rarely resume our silence without some hurt done to our conscience? We like talking so much because we hope by our conversations to gain some mutual comfort, and because we seek to refresh our wearied spirits by variety of thoughts, and we very willingly talk and think of those things which we love or desire, or else of those which we most dislike. 2. But alas, it is often to no purpose and in vain, for this outward consolation is no small hindrance to the inner comfort which cometh from God. Therefore must we watch and pray that time pass not idly away. If it be right and desirable for thee to speak, speak things which are to edification. Evil custom and neglect of our real profit tend much to make us heedless of watching over our lips. Nevertheless, devout conversation on spiritual things helpeth not a little to spiritual progress, most of all where those of kindred mind and spirit find their ground of fellowship in God. Chapter 11. Of Seeking Peace of Mind and of Spiritual Progress. We may enjoy abundance of peace if we refrain from busying ourselves with the sayings and doings of others, and things which concern not ourselves. How can he abide long time in peace who occupieth himself with other men's matters and with things without himself, and meanwhile payeth little or rare heed to the self within? Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall have abundance of peace. 2. How came it to pass that many of the saints were so perfect, so contemplative of divine things? Because they steadfastly sought to mortify themselves from all worldly desires, and so were enabled to cling with their whole heart to God, and be free and at leisure for the thought of him. We are too much occupied with our own affections, and too anxious about transitory things. Seldom, too, do we entirely conquer even a single fault, nor are we zealous for daily growth in grace. And so we remain lukewarm and unspiritual. 3. Were we fully watchful of ourselves, and not bound in spirit to outward things, then might we be wise unto salvation, and make progress in divine contemplation. Our great and grievous stumbling block is that, not being freed from our affections and desires, we strive not to enter into the perfect way of the saints, and when even a little trouble befalleth us, too quickly are we cast down, and fly to the world to give us comfort. 4. If we would quit ourselves like men, and strive to stand firm in the battle, then should we see the Lord helping us from heaven. For he himself is always ready to help those who strive and who trust in him. Yea, he provideth for us occasions of striving to the end that we may win the victory. If we look upon our progress in religion as a progress only in outward observances and forms, our devoutness will soon come to an end. But let us lay the axe to the very root of our life, that being cleansed from affections, we may possess our souls in peace. 5. If each year should see one fault rooted out from us, we should go quickly on to perfection. But on the contrary, we often feel that we were better and holier in the beginning of our conversion than after many years of profession. Zeal and progress ought to increase day by day. Yet now it seemeth a great thing if one is able to retain some portion of his first ardour. If we would put some slight stress on ourselves at the beginning, then afterwards we should be able to do all things with ease and joy. 6. It is a hard thing to break through a habit, and a yet harder thing to go contrary to our own will. Yet if thou overcome not slight and easy obstacles, how shalt thou overcome greater ones? Withstand thy will at the beginning, and unlearn an evil habit, lest it lead thee little by little into worse difficulties. Oh, if thou knewest what peace to thyself thy holy life should bring to thyself, and what joy to others, methinketh thou wouldst be more zealous for spiritual profit. Chapter 12. Of the Uses of Adversity. It is good for us that we sometimes have sorrows and adversities, for they often make a man lay to heart that he is only a stranger and sojourner, and may not put his trust in any worldly thing. It is good that we sometimes endure contradictions, and are hardly and unfairly judged when we do and mean what is good. For these things help us to be humble, and shield us from vain glory. For then we seek the more earnestly the witness of God when men speak evil of us falsely and give us no credit for good. 2. Therefore ought a man to rest wholly upon God, so that he needeth not seek much comfort at the hand of men. When a man who feareth God is afflicted or tried or oppressed with evil thoughts, then he seeth that God is the more necessary unto him, since without God he can do no good thing. Then he is heavy of heart, he groaneth, he crieth out for the very disquietness of his heart. Then he groweth weary of life, and would fain depart and be with Christ. By all this he is taught that in the world there can be no perfect security or fullness of peace. Chapter 13. Of Resisting Temptation. So long as we live in the world, we cannot be without trouble and trial. Wherefore it is written in Job, "The life of man upon the earth is a trial," and therefore ought each of us to give heed concerning trials and temptations, and watch unto prayer, lest the devil find occasion to deceive. For he never sleepeth, but goeth about seeking whom he may devour. No man is so perfect in holiness that he hath never temptations, nor can we ever be wholly free from them. 2. Yet notwithstanding, temptations turn greatly unto our profit, even though they be great and hard to bear. For through them we are humbled, purified, instructed. All saints have passed through much tribulation and temptation, and have profited thereby. And they who endured not temptation became reprobate and fell away. There is no position so sacred, no place so secret, that it is without temptations and adversities. 3. There is no man wholly free from temptation so long as he liveth, because we have the root of temptation within ourselves, in that we are born in concupiscence. One temptation or sorrow passeth, and another cometh, and always we shall have somewhat to suffer, for we have fallen from perfect happiness. Many who seek to fly from temptations fall yet more deeply into them. By flight alone we cannot overcome, but by endurance and true humility we are made stronger than all our enemies. 4. He who only resisteth outwardly and pulleth not up by the root shall profit little. Nay, rather temptations will return to him the more quickly, and will be the more terrible. Little by little, through patience and long suffering, thou shalt conquer by the help of God, rather than by violence and thine own strength of will. In the midst of temptation, often seek counsel, and deal not hardly with one who is tempted, but comfort and strengthen him as thou wouldest have done unto thyself. 5. The beginning of all temptations to evil is instability of temper and want of trust in God. For even as a ship without a helm is tossed about by the waves, so is a man who is careless and infirm of purpose tempted, now on this side, now on that. As fire testeth iron, so doth temptation the upright man. Oftentimes we know not what strength we have, but temptation revealeth to us what we are. Nevertheless, we must watch, especially in the beginnings of temptation. For then is the foe the more easily mastered, when he is not suffered to enter within the mind, but is met outside the door as soon as he hath knocked. Wherefore one saith, "Check the beginnings once thou mightest have cured, but now 'tis past thy skill, too long hath it endured. For first cometh to the mind the simple suggestion, then the strong imagination, afterwards pleasure, evil affection, assent. And so little by little the enemy entereth in altogether, because he was not resisted at the beginning. And the longer a man delayeth his resistance, the weaker he groweth, and the stronger groweth the enemy against him. 6. Some men suffer their most grievous temptations in the beginning of their conversion, some at the end. Some are sorely tried their whole life long. Some there are who are tempted but lightly, according to the wisdom and justice of the ordering of God, who knoweth the character and circumstances of men, and ordereth all things for the welfare of his elect. 7. Therefore we ought not to despair when we are tempted, but the more fervently should cry unto God that he will vouchsafe to help us in all our tribulation, and that he will, as St. Paul saith, with the temptation make a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it. Let us therefore humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God in all temptation and trouble, for he will save and exalt such as are of an humble spirit. 8. In temptations and troubles a man is proved what progress he hath made, and therein is his reward the greater, and his virtue doth the more appear. Nor is it a great thing if a man be devout and zealous so long as he suffereth no affliction, but if he behave himself patiently in the time of adversity, then is there hope of great progress. Some are kept safe from great temptations, but are overtaken in those which are little and common, that the humiliation may teach them not to trust to themselves in great things, being weak in small things. 1 Job 7 verse 1, Vulg. 2 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, chapter 14. On avoiding rash judgment. Look well unto thyself, and beware that thou judge not the doings of others. In judging others a man laboureth in vain, he often erreth, and easily falleth into sin. But in judging and examining himself he always laboureth to good purpose. According as a matter toucheth our fancy, so oftentimes do we judge of it, for easily do we fail of true judgment because of our own personal feeling. If God were always the sole object of our desire, we should the less easily be troubled by the erring judgment of our fancy. 2. But often some secret thought lurking within us, or even some outward circumstance, turneth us aside. Many are secretly seeking their own ends in what they do, yet know it not. They seem to live in good peace of mind so long as things go well with them, and according to their desires, but if their desires be frustrated and broken, immediately they are shaken and displeased. Diversity of feelings and opinions very often brings about dissensions between friends, between countrymen, between religious and godly men. 3. Established custom is not easily relinquished, and no man is very easily led to see with the eyes of another. If thou rest more upon thy own reason or experience than upon the power of Jesus Christ, thy light shall come slowly and hardly, for God willeth us to be perfectly subject unto himself, and all our reason to be exalted by abundant love towards him. Chapter 15. Of Works of Charity. For no worldly good whatsoever, and for the love of no man, must anything be done which is evil, but for the help of the suffering a good work must sometimes be postponed, or be changed for a better, for herein a good work is not destroyed but improved. Without charity no work profiteth, but whatsoever is done in charity, however small and of no reputation it be, bringeth forth good fruit. For God verily considereth what a man is able to do more than the greatness of what he doth. 2. He doth much who loveth much. He doth much who doth well. He doth well who ministereth to the public good rather than to his own. Oftentimes that seemeth to be charity which is rather carnality, because it springeth from natural inclination, self-will, hope of repayment, desire of gain. 3. He who hath true and perfect charity in no wise seeketh his own good, but desireth that God alone be altogether glorified. He envieth none, because he longeth for no selfish joy, nor doth he desire to rejoice in himself, but longeth to be blessed in God as the highest good. He ascribeth good to none save to God only, the fountain whence all good proceedeth, and the end, the peace, the joy of all saints. O, he who hath but a spark of true charity hath verily learned that all worldly things are full of vanity. Chapter 16. Of Bearing with the Faults of Others. Those things which a man cannot amend in himself or in others, he ought patiently to bear, until God shall otherwise ordain. Bethink thee that perhaps it is better for thy trial and patience, without which our merits are but little worth. Nevertheless thou oughtest, when thou findest such impediments, to beseech God that he would vouchsafe to sustain thee, that thou be able to bear them with a good will. 2. If one who is once or twice admonished refuse to hearken, strive not with him, but commit all to God, that his will may be done and his honour be shown in his servants. For he knoweth well how to convert the evil unto good. Endeavour to be patient in bearing with other men's faults and infirmities whatsoever they be, for thou thyself also hast many things which have need to be borne with by others. If thou canst not make thine own self what thou desireth, how shalt thou be able to fashion another to thine own liking? We are ready to see others made perfect, and yet we do not amend our own shortcomings. 3. We will that others be straightly corrected, but we will not be corrected ourselves. The freedom of others displeaseth us, but we are dissatisfied that our own wishes shall be denied us. We desire rules to be made restraining others, but by no means will we suffer ourselves to be restrained. Thus therefore doth it plainly appear how seldom we weigh our neighbour in the same balance with ourselves. If all men were perfect, what then should we have to suffer from others for God? 4. But now hath God thus ordained, that we may learn to bear one another's burdens, because none is without defect, none without a burden, none sufficient of himself, none wise enough of himself. But it behoveth us to bear with one another, to comfort one another, to help, instruct, admonish one another. How much strength each man hath is best proved by occasions of adversity, for such occasions do not make a man frail, but show of what temper he is. Chapter 17. Of a Religious Life. It behoveth thee to learn to mortify thyself in many things if thou wilt live in amity and concord with other men. It is no small thing to dwell in a religious community or congregation, and to live there without complaint, and therein to remain faithful even unto death. Blessed is he who hath lived a good life in such a body, and brought it to a happy end. If thou wilt stand fast and wilt profit as thou oughtest, hold thyself as an exile and a pilgrim upon the earth, thou wilt have to be counted as a fool for Christ, if thou wilt lead a religious life. 2. The clothing and outward appearance are of small account. It is change of character and entire mortification of the affections which make a truly religious man. He who seeketh aught save God and the health of his soul shall find only tribulation and sorrow, nor can he stand long in peace, who striveth not to be least of all and servant of all. 3. Thou art called to endure and to labour, not to a life of ease and trifling talk. Here therefore are men tried as gold in the furnace. No man can stand unless with all his heart he will humble himself for God's sake. Chapter 18. Of the Example of the Holy Fathers. Consider now the lively examples of the Holy Fathers, in whom shone forth real perfectness and religion, and thou shalt see how little, even as nothing, is all that we do. Ah, what is our life when compared to theirs? They, saints and friends of Christ as they were, served the Lord in hunger and thirst, in cold and nakedness, in labour and weariness, in watchings and fastings, in prayer and holy meditations, in persecutions and much rebuke. 2. Oh, how many and grievous tribulations did the apostles, martyrs, confessors, virgins endure, and all others who would walk in the footsteps of Christ, for they hated their souls in this world that they might keep them unto life eternal. Oh, how strict and retired a life was that of the holy fathers who dwelt in the desert, what long and grievous temptations they did suffer, how often were they assaulted by the enemy, what frequent and fervid prayers did they offer unto God, what strict fasts did they endure, what fervent zeal and desire after spiritual profit did they manifest, how bravely did they fight that their vices might not gain the mastery, how entirely and steadfastly did they reach after God. By day they laboured, and at night they gave themselves oft times unto prayer. Yea, even when they were labouring, they ceased not from mental prayer. 3. They spent their whole time profitably. Every hour seemed short for retirement with God, and through the great sweetness of contemplation, even the need of bodily refreshment was forgotten. They renounced all riches, dignities, honours, friends, kinsmen. They desired nothing from the world. They ate the bare necessaries of life. They were unwilling to minister to the body even in necessity. Thus were they poor in earthly things, but rich above measure in grace and virtue. Though poor to the outer eye, within they were filled with grace and heavenly benedictions. 4. They were strangers to the world, but unto God they were as kinsmen and friends. They seemed unto themselves as of no reputation, and in the world's eyes contemptible, but in the sight of God they were precious and beloved. They stood fast in true humility, they lived in simple obedience, they walked in love and patience, and thus they waxed strong in spirit and obtained great favour before God. To all religious men they were given as an example. and they ought more to provoke us unto good livings than the number of the lukewarm tempteth to carelessness of life. 5. Oh, how great was the love of all religious persons at the beginning of this sacred institution! Oh, what devoutness of prayer, what rivalry and holiness, what strict discipline was observed, what reverence and obedience under the rule of the Master showed they in all things! The traces of them that remain until now testify that they were truly holy and perfect men, who fighting so bravely trod the world underfoot. Now a man is counted great, if only he be not a transgressor, and if he can only endure with patience what he hath undertaken. 6. Oh, the coldness and negligence of our times that we so quickly decline from the former love, and it is become a weariness to live, because of sloth and lukewarmness. May progress in holiness not wholly fall asleep in thee, who many times has seen so many examples of devout men. Chapter 19 of the Exercises of a Religious Man. The life of a Christian ought to be adorned with all virtues, that he may be inwardly what he outwardly appeareth unto men. And verily it should be yet better within than without, for God is a discerner of our heart, whom we must reverence with all our hearts wheresoever we are, and walk pure in his presence, as do the angels. We ought daily to renew our vows, and to kindle our hearts to zeal, as if each day were the first day of our conversion, and to say, Help me, O God, in my good resolutions and in thy holy service, and grant that this day I may make a good beginning, for hitherto I have done nothing. 2. According to our resolution, so is the rate of our progress, and much diligence is needful for him who would make good progress. For if he who resolveth bravely oftentimes falleth short, how shall it be with him who resolveth rarely or feebly? But manifold causes bring about abandonment of our resolution, yet a trivial omission of holy exercises can hardly be made without some loss to us. The resolution of the righteous dependeth more upon the grace of God than upon their own wisdom, for in him they always put their trust, whatsoever they take in hand. For man proposeth, but God disposeth, and the way of a man is not in himself. 1. 3. If a holy exercise be sometimes omitted for the sake of some act of piety or of some brotherly kindness, it can easily be taken up afterwards. But if it be neglected through distaste or slothfulness, then is it sinful and the mischief will be felt. Strive as earnestly as we may, we shall still fall short in many things. Always should some distinct resolution be made by us, and most of all, we must strive against those sins which most easily beset us. Both our outer and inner life should be straitly examined and ruled by us, because both have to do with our progress. 4. If thou canst not be always examining thyself, thou canst at certain seasons and at least twice in the day, at evening and at morning. In the morning make thy resolves, and in the evening inquire into thy life, how thou hast sped today in word, deed, and thought, for in these ways thou hast often perchance offended God and thy neighbor. Gird up thy lions like a man against the assaults of the devil, bridle thine appetite, and thou wilt soon be able to bridle every inclination of the flesh. Be thou never without something to do, be reading or writing or praying or meditating or doing something that is useful to the community. Bodily exercises, however, must be undertaken with discretion, nor are they to be used by all alike. 5. The duties which are not common to all must not be done openly, but are safest carried on in secret. But take heed that thou be not careless in the common duties, and more devout in the secret. But faithfully and honestly discharge the duties and commands which lie upon thee. Then afterwards, if thou hast still leisure, give thyself to thyself as thy devotion leadeth thee. All cannot have one exercise, but one suiteth better to this man and another to that. Even for the diversity of season different exercises are needed. Some suit better for feasts, some for fasts. We need one kind in time of temptations, and others in time of peace and quietness. Some are suitable to our times of sadness, and others when we are joyful in the Lord. 6. When we draw near the time of the great feasts, good exercises should be renewed, and the prayers of holy men more fervently besought. We ought to make our resolutions from one feast to another, as if each were the period of our departure from this world, and of entering into the eternal feast. So ought we to prepare ourselves earnestly at solemn seasons, and the more solemnly to live, and to keep straightest watch upon each holy observance, as though we were soon to receive the reward of our labors at the hand of God. 7. And if this be deferred, let us believe ourselves to be as yet ill-prepared, and unworthy as yet of the glory which shall be revealed in us at the appointed season, and let us study to prepare ourselves the better for our end. Blessed is that servant, as the evangelist Luke hath it, whom, when the Lord cometh, he shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all that he hath. 2:1, Jeremiah 10, verse 23. 2, Luke 12, verse 43-44. Chapter 20. Of the love of solitude and silence. Seek a suitable time for thy meditation, and think frequently of the mercies of God to thee. Leave curious questions. Study such matters as bring thee sorrow for sin rather than amusement. If thou withdraw thyself from trifling conversation and idle goings about, as well as from novelties and gossip, thou shalt find thy time sufficient and apt for good meditation. The greatest saints used to avoid as far as they could the company of men, and chose to live in secret with God. 2. One hath said, as oft as I have gone among men, so oft have I returned less a man. This is what we often experience when we have been long time in conversation, for it is easier to be altogether silent than it is not to exceed in word. It is easier to remain hidden at home than to keep sufficient guard upon thyself out of doors. He, therefore, that seeketh to reach that which is hidden and spiritual, must go with Jesus apart from the multitude. No man safely goeth abroad who loveth not to rest at home. No man safely talketh but he who loveth to hold his peace. No man safely ruleth but he who loveth to be subject. No man safely commandeth but he who loveth to obey. 3. No man safely rejoiceth but he who hath the testimony of a good conscience within himself. The boldness of the saints was always full of the fear of God, nor were they the less earnest and humble in themselves, because they shone forth with great virtues and grace. But the boldness of wicked men springeth from pride and presumption, and at the last turneth to their own confusion. Never promise thyself security in this life, howsoever good a monk or devout a solitary thou seemest. 4. Often those who stand highest in the esteem of men fall the more grievously because of their over-great confidence. Wherefore it is very profitable unto many that they should not be without inward temptation, but should be frequently assaulted, lest they be overconfident, lest they be indeed lifted up into pride, or else lean too freely upon the consolations of the world. Oh, how good a conscience should that man keep, who never sought a joy that passeth away, who never became entangled with the world. Oh, how great peace and quiet should he possess, who would cast off all vain care and think only of healthful and divine things, and build his whole hope upon God. 5. No man is worthy of heavenly consolation but he who hath diligently exercised himself in holy compunction. If thou wilt feel compunction within thy heart, enter into thy chamber and shut out the tumults of the world, as it is written, commune with your own heart in your own chamber and be still. 1. In retirement thou shalt find what often thou wilt lose abroad. Retirement, if thou continue therein, groweth sweet, but if thou keep not in it, begetteth weariness. If in the beginning of thy conversation thou dwell in it and keep it well, it shall afterwards be to thee a dear friend and a most pleasant solace. 6. In silence and quiet, the devout soul goeth forward and learneth the hidden things of the Scriptures. Therein findeth she a fountain of tears, wherein to wash and cleanse herself each night, that she may grow the more dear to her Maker as she dwelleth the further from all worldly distraction. To him who withdraweth himself from his acquaintance and friends, God with his holy angels will draw nigh. It is better to be unknown and take heed to oneself than to neglect oneself and work wonders. It is praiseworthy for a religious man to go seldom abroad, to fly from being seen, to have no desire to see men. 7. Why wouldest thou see what thou mayest not have? The world passeth away and the lust thereof. The desires of sensuality draw thee abroad, but when an hour is past, what dost thou bring home but a weight upon thy conscience and distraction of heart? A merry going forth bringeth often a sorrowful return, and a merry evening maketh a sad morning. So doth all carnal joy begin pleasantly, but in the end it gnaweth away and destroyeth. What canst thou see abroad which thou seest not at home? Behold the heaven and the earth and the elements, for out of these are all things made. 8. What canst thou see anywhere which can continue long under the sun? Thou believest perchance that thou shalt be satisfied, but thou wilt never be able to attain unto this. If thou shouldest see all things before thee at once, what would it be but a vain vision? Lift up thine eyes to God on high, and pray that thy sins and negligences may be forgiven. Leave vain things to vain men, and mind thou the things which God hath commanded thee. Shut thy door upon thee, and call unto thyself Jesus thy beloved. Remain with him in thy chamber, for thou shalt not elsewhere find so great peace. If thou hadst not gone forth nor listened to vain talk, thou hadst better kept thyself in good peace. But because it sometimes delighteth thee to hear new things, thou must therefore suffer trouble of heart. 1 Psalm 4 verse 4. Chapter 21. Of Compunction of Heart. If thou wilt make any progress, keep thyself in the fear of God, and long not to be too free, but restrain all thy senses under discipline, and give not thyself up to senseless mirth. Give thyself to compunction of heart, and thou shalt find devotion. Compunction openeth the way for many good things, which dissoluteness is wont quickly to lose. It is wonderful that any man can ever rejoice heartily in this life who considereth and weigheth his banishment and the manifold dangers which beset his soul. 2. Through lightness of heart and neglect of our shortcomings, we feel not the sorrows of our soul, but often vainly laugh when we have good cause to weep. There is no true liberty nor real joy, save in the fear of God with a good conscience. Happy is he who can cast away every cause of distraction and bring himself to the one purpose of holy compunction. Happy is he who putteth away from him whatsoever may stain or burden his conscience. Strive manfully, custom is overcome by custom. If thou knowest how to let men alone, they will gladly let thee alone to do thine own works. 3. Busy not thyself with the affairs of others, nor entangle thyself with the business of great men. Keep always thine eye upon thyself first of all, and give advice to thyself specially before all thy dearest friends. If thou hast not the favour of men, be not thereby cast down, but let thy concern be that thou holdest not thyself so well and circumspectly as becometh a servant of God and a devout monk. It is often better and safer for a man not to have many comforts in this life, especially those which concern the flesh, but that we lack divine comforts or feel them rarely is to our own blame, because we seek not compunction of heart, nor utterly cast away those comforts which are vain and worldly. 4. Know thyself to be unworthy of divine consolation, and worthy rather of much tribulation. When a man hath perfect compunction, then all the world is burdensome and bitter to him. A good man will find sufficient cause for mourning and weeping, for whether he considereth himself or pondereth concerning his neighbor, he knoweth that no man liveth here without tribulation, and the more thoroughly he considereth himself, the more thoroughly he grieveth. Grounds for just grief and inward compunction there are in our sins and vices, wherein we lie so entangled that we are but seldom able to contemplate heavenly things. 5. If thou thoughtest upon thy death more often than how long thy life should be, thou wouldest doubtless strive more earnestly to improve. And if thou didst seriously consider the future pains of hell, I believe thou wouldest willingly endure toil or pain and fear not discipline. But because these things reach not the heart, and we still love pleasant things, therefore we remain cold and miserably indifferent. 6. Oftentimes it is from poverty of spirit that the wretched body is so easily led to complain. Pray therefore humbly unto the Lord, that he will give thee the spirit of compunction, and say in the language of the prophet, Feed me, O Lord, with bread of tears, and give me plenteousness of tears to drink. 1 Psalm 80 verse 5. Chapter 22. On the Contemplation of Human Misery. Thou art miserable wheresoever thou art, and whithersoever thou turnest, unless thou turn thee to God. Why art thou disquieted because it happeneth not to thee according to thy wishes and desires? Who is he that hath everything according to his will? Neither I nor thou nor any man upon the earth. There is no man in the world free from trouble or anguish, though he were king or pope. Who is he who hath the happiest lot? Even he who is strong to suffer somewhat for God. 2. There are many foolish and unstable men who say, See what a prosperous life that man hath, how rich and how great he is, how powerful, how exalted. But lift up thine eyes to the good things of heaven, and thou shalt see that all these worldly things are nothing. They are utterly uncertain. Yea, they are wearisome, because they are never possessed without care and fear. The happiness of man lieth not in the abundance of temporal things, but a moderate portion sufficeth him. Our life upon the earth is verily wretchedness. The more a man desireth to be spiritual, the more bitter doth the present life become to him, because he the better understandeth and seeth the defects of human corruption. For to eat, to drink, to watch, to sleep, to rest, to labor, and to be subject to the other necessities of nature, is truly a great wretchedness and affliction to a devout man, who would fain be released and free from all sin. 3. For the inner man is heavily burdened with the necessities of the body in this world. Wherefore the prophet devoutly prayeth to be freed from them, saying, Deliver me from my necessities, O Lord. But woe to those who know not their own misery, and yet greater woe to those who love this miserable and corruptible life. For to such a degree do some cling to it, even though by laboring or begging they scarce procure what is necessary for subsistence, that if they might live here always they would care nothing for the kingdom of God. 4. O foolish and faithless of heart, who lie buried so deep in worldly things that they relish nothing save the things of the flesh, miserable ones, they will too sadly find out at the last how vile and worthless was that which they loved. The saints of God and all loyal friends of Christ held as nothing the things which pleased the flesh, or those which flourished in this life, but their whole hope and affection aspired to the things which are above. Their whole desire was borne upwards to everlasting and invisible things, lest they should be drawn downwards by the love of things visible. 5. Lose not, brother, thy loyal desire of progress to things spiritual. There is yet time, the hour is not past. Why wilt thou put off thy resolution? Arise, begin this very moment, and say, Now is the time to do, now is the time to fight, now is the proper time for amendment. When thou art ill at ease and troubled, then is the time when thou art nearest unto blessing. Thou must go through fire and water that God may bring thee into a wealthy place. Unless thou put force upon thyself, thou wilt not conquer thy faults. So long as we carry about with us this frail body, we cannot be without sin, we cannot live without weariness and trouble. Gladly would we have rest from all misery, but because through sin we have lost innocence, we have lost also the true happiness. Therefore must we be patient, and wait for the mercy of God, until this tyranny be overpassed, and this mortality be swallowed up of life. 6. Oh, how great is the frailty of man, which is ever prone to evil! Today thou confessest thy sins, and tomorrow thou committest again the sins thou didst confess. Now dost thou resolve to avoid a fault, and within an hour thou behavest thyself as if thou hadst never resolved at all. Good cause have we therefore to humble ourselves, and never to think highly of ourselves, seeing that we are so frail and unstable. And quickly may that be lost by our negligence, which by much labor was hardly attained through grace. 7. What shall become of us at the end, if at the beginning we are lukewarm and idle? Woe unto us if we choose to rest, as though it were a time of peace and security, while as yet no sign appeareth in our life of true holiness. Rather had we need that we might begin yet afresh, like good novices, to be instructed unto good living, if haply there might be hope of some future amendment and greater spiritual increase. 1. Psalm 25, verse 17. Chapter 23, of Meditation upon Death. Very quickly will there be an end of thee here. Take heed, therefore, how it will be with thee in another world. Today man is, and tomorrow he will be seen no more. And being removed out of sight, quickly also he is out of mind. O the dullness and hardness of man's heart, which thinketh only of the present, and looketh not forward to the future! Thou oughtest in every deed and thought so to order thyself, as if thou wert to die this day. If thou hadst a good conscience, thou wouldst not greatly fear death. It were better for thee to watch against sin than to fly from death. If today thou art not ready, how shalt thou be ready tomorrow? Tomorrow is an uncertain day, and how knowest thou that thou shalt have a tomorrow? 2. What doth it profit to live long when we amend so little? Ah, long life doth not always amend, but often the more increaseth guilt. Oh, that we might spend a single day in this world as it ought to be spent. Many there are who reckon the years since they were converted, and yet oftentimes how little is the fruit thereof. If it is a fearful thing to die, it may be perchance a yet more fearful thing to live long. Happy is the man who hath the hour of his death always before his eyes, and daily prepareth himself to die. If thou hast ever seen one die, consider that thou also shalt pass away by the same road. 3. When it is morning, reflect that it may be thou shalt not see the evening, and at eventide dare not to boast thyself of the morrow. Always be thou prepared, and so live that death may never find thee unprepared. Many die suddenly and unexpectedly, for at such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. When that last hour shall come, thou wilt begin to think very differently of thy whole life past, and wilt mourn bitterly that thou hast been so negligent and slothful. 4. Happy and wise is he who now striveth to be such in life as he would fain be found in death. For a perfect contempt of the world, a fervent desire to excel in virtue, the love of discipline, the painfulness of repentance, readiness to obey, denial of self, submission to any adversity for love of Christ. These are the things which shall give great confidence of a happy death. Whilst thou art in health, thou hast many opportunities of good works, but when thou art in sickness, I know not how much thou wilt be able to do. Few are made better by infirmity, even as they who wander much abroad seldom become holy. 5. Trust not thy friends and kinsfolk, nor put off the work of thy salvation to the future, for men will forget thee sooner than thou thinkest. It is better for thee now to provide in time, and to send some good before thee than to trust to the help of others. If thou art not anxious for thyself now, who, thinkest thou, will be anxious for thee afterwards? Now the time is most precious. Now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. But alas, that thou spendest not well this time wherein thou mightest lay up treasure which should profit thee everlastingly. The hour will come when thou shalt desire one day, yea, one hour for amendment of life, and I know not whether thou shalt obtain. 6. O dearly beloved, from what danger thou mightest free thyself, from what great fear, if only thou wouldst always live in fear, and in expectation of death. Strive now to live in such wise, that in the hour of death thou mayest rather rejoice than fear. Learn now to die to the world, so shalt thou begin to live with Christ. Learn now to contemn all earthly things, and then mayest thou freely go unto Christ. Keep under thy body by penitence, and then shalt thou be able to have a sure confidence. 7. Ah, foolish one, why thinkest thou that thou shalt live long, when thou art not sure of a single day? How many have been deceived and suddenly have been snatched away from the body? How many times hast thou heard how one was slain by the sword, another was drowned, another falling from on high broke his neck, another died at the table, another whilst at play? One died by fire, another by the sword, another by the pestilence, another by the robber. Thus cometh death to all, and the life of men swiftly passeth away like a shadow. 8. Who will remember thee after thy death, and who will entreat for thee? Work, work now, O dearly beloved, work all that thou canst, for thou knowest not when thou shalt die, nor what shall happen unto thee after death. While thou hast time, lay up for thyself undying riches. Think of naught but of thy salvation, care only for the things of God. Make to thyself friends, by venerating the saints of God and walking in their steps, that when thou failest, thou mayest be received into everlasting habitations. 2. 9. Keep thyself as a stranger and a pilgrim upon the earth, to whom the things of the world appertain not. Keep thine heart free, and lift it up towards God, for here have we no continuing city. 3. To him direct thy daily prayers with crying and tears, that thy spirit may be found worthy to pass happily after death unto its Lord. Amen. 1. Matthew 24, verse 44, 2. Luke 16, verse 9. 3. Hebrews 13, verse 14. Chapter 24. Of the judgment and punishment of the wicked. Can all that thou doest remember the end, and how thou wilt stand before a strict judge, from whom nothing is hid, who is not bribed with gifts, nor accepteth excuses, but will judge righteous judgment? O most miserable and foolish sinner, who art sometimes in fear of the countenance of an angry man, what wilt thou answer to God, who knoweth all thy misdeeds? Why dost thou not provide for thyself against the day of judgment, when no man shall be able to be excused or defended by means of another, but each one shall bear his burden himself alone? Now doth thy labor bring forth fruit, now is thy weeping acceptable, thy groaning heard, thy sorrow well pleasing to God, and cleansing to thy soul. 2. Even here on earth the patient man findeth great occasion of purifying his soul. When suffering injuries, he grieveth more for the other's malice than for his own wrong. When he prayeth heartily for those that despitefully use him, and forgiveth them from his heart. When he is not slow to ask pardon from others. When he is swifter to pity than to anger. When he frequently denieth himself, and striveth altogether to subdue the flesh to the spirit. Better is it now to purify the soul from sin, than to cling to sins from which we must be purged hereafter. Truly we deceive ourselves by the inordinate love which we bear towards the flesh. 3. What is it which that fire shall devour save thy sins? The more thou sparest thyself and followest the flesh, the more heavy shall thy punishment be, and the more fuel art thou heaping up for the burning. For wherein a man hath sinned, therein shall he be the more heavily punished. There shall the slothful be pricked forward with burning goads, and the gluttons be tormented with intolerable hunger and thirst. There shall the luxurious and the lovers of pleasure be plunged into burning pitch and stinking brimstone, and the envious shall howl like mad dogs for very grief. 4. No sin will there be which shall not be visited with its own proper punishment. The proud shall be filled with utter confusion, and the covetous shall be pinched with miserable poverty. An hour's pain there shall be more grievous than 100 years here of the bitterest penitence. No quiet shall be there, no comfort for the lost, though here sometimes there is respite from pain, and enjoyment of the solace of friends. Be thou anxious now and sorrowful for thy sins, that in the day of judgment thou mayest have boldness with the blessed, for then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him, and made no account of his labours. Then shall he stand up to judge he who now submitteth himself in humility to the judgments of men. Then shall the poor and humble man have great confidence, while the proud is taken with fear on every side. 5. Then shall it be seen that he was the wise man in this world who learned to be a fool and despised for Christ. Then shall all tribulation patiently borne delight us, while the mouth of the ungodly shall be stopped. Then shall every godly man rejoice, and every profane man shall mourn. Then the afflicted flesh shall more rejoice than if it had been always nourished in delights. Then the humble garment shall put on beauty, and the precious robe shall hide itself as vile. Then the little poor cottage shall be more commended than the gilded palace. Then enduring patience shall have more might than all the power of the world. Then simple obedience shall be more highly exalted than all worldly wisdom. 6. Then a pure and good conscience shall more rejoice than learned philosophy. Then contempt of riches shall have more weight than all the treasure of the children of this world. Then shalt thou find more comfort in having prayed devoutly than in having fared sumptuously. Then thou wilt rather rejoice in having kept silence than in having made long speech. Then holy deeds shall be far stronger than many fine words. Then a strict life and sincere penitence shall bring deeper pleasure than all earthly delight. Learn now to suffer a little, that then thou mayest be enabled to escape heavier sufferings. Prove first here what thou art able to endure hereafter. If now thou art able to bear so little, how wilt thou be able to endure eternal torments? If now a little suffering maketh thee so impatient, what shall hellfire do then? Behold, of a surety thou art not able to have 2 paradises, to take thy fill or delight here in this world, and to reign with Christ hereafter. 7. If even unto this day thou hadst ever lived in honours and pleasures, what would the whole profit thee if now death came to thee in an instant? All therefore is vanity, save to love God, and to serve him only. For he who loveth God with all his heart feareth not death, nor punishment, nor judgment, nor hell, because perfect love giveth sure access to God. But he who still delighteth in sin, no marvel if he is afraid of death and judgment. Nevertheless, it is a good thing, if love as yet cannot restrain thee from evil, that at least the fear of hell should hold thee back. But he who putteth aside the fear of God cannot long continue in good, but shall quickly fall into the snares of the devil. 1. Wisdom, verse 1, chapter 25, of the zealous amendment of our whole life. Be thou watchful and diligent in God's service, and bethink thee often why thou hast renounced the world. Was it not that thou mightest live to God and become a spiritual man? Be zealous, therefore, for thy spiritual profit, for thou shalt receive shortly the reward of thy labours, and neither fear nor sorrow shall come any more into thy borders. Now shalt thou labour a little, and thou shalt find great rest, yea, everlasting joy. If thou shalt remain faithful and zealous in labour, doubt not that God shall be faithful and bountiful in rewarding thee. It is thy duty to have a good hope that thou wilt attain the victory, but thou must not fall into security lest thou become slothful or lifted up. 2. A certain man, being in anxiety of mind, continually tossed about between hope and fear, and being on a certain day overwhelmed with grief, cast himself down in prayer before the altar in a church, and meditated within himself, saying, "Oh, if I but knew that I should still persevere," and presently heard within him a voice from God, "And if thou didst know it, what wouldst thou do? Do now what thou wouldst do then, and thou shalt be very secure." And straightway being comforted and strengthened, he committed himself to the will of God, and the perturbation of spirit ceased. Neither had he a mind any more to search curiously to know what should befall him hereafter, but studied rather to inquire what was the good and acceptable will of God for the beginning and perfecting of every good work. 3. Hope in the Lord and be doing good, saith the prophet. Dwell in the land, and thou shalt be fed with its riches. One thing there is which holdeth back many from progress and fervent amendment, even the dread of difficulty or the labour of the conflict. Nevertheless, they advance above all others in virtue who strive manfully to conquer those things which are most grievous and contrary to them, for there a man profiteth most, and meriteth greater grace where he most overcometh himself and mortifieth himself in spirit. 4. But all men have not the same passions to conquer and to mortify. Yet he who is diligent shall attain more profit, although he have stronger passions, than another who is more temperate of disposition, but is withal less fervent in the pursuit of virtue. 2 things specially avail unto improvement in holiness, namely firmness to withdraw ourselves from the sin to which by nature we are most inclined, and earnest zeal for that good in which we are most lacking. And strive also very earnestly to guard against and subdue those faults which displease thee most frequently in others. 5. Gather some profit to thy soul wherever thou art, and wherever thou seest or hearest good examples, stir thyself to follow them, but where thou seest anything which is blameworthy, take heed that thou do not the same, or if at any time thou hast done it, strive quickly to amend thyself. As thine eye observeth others, so again are the eyes of others upon thee. How sweet and pleasant is it to see zealous and godly brethren temperate and of good discipline, and how sad is it and grievous to see them walking disorderly, not practicing the duties to which they are called. How hurtful a thing it is to neglect the purpose of their calling and turn their inclinations to things which are none of their business. 6. Be mindful of the duties which thou hast undertaken, and set always before thee the remembrance of the crucified. Truly oughtest thou to be ashamed as thou lookest upon the life of Jesus Christ, because thou hast not yet endeavoured to conform thyself more unto him, though thou hast been a long time in the way of God. A religious man who exercises himself seriously and devoutly in the most holy life and passion of our Lord shall find there abundantly all things that are profitable and necessary for him, neither is there need that he shall seek anything better beyond Jesus. Oh, if Jesus crucified would come into our hearts, how quickly and completely should we have learned all that we need to know. 7. He who is earnest receiveth and beareth well all things that are laid upon him. He who is careless and lukewarm hath trouble upon trouble, and suffereth anguish upon every side, because he is without inward consolation, and is forbidden to seek that which is outward. He who is living without discipline is exposed to grievous ruin. He who seeketh easier and lighter discipline shall always be in distress, because one thing or another will give him displeasure. 8. Oh, if no other duty lay upon us but to praise the Lord our God with our whole heart and voice. Oh, if thou never hadst need to eat or drink or sleep, but wert always able to praise God, and to give thyself to spiritual exercises alone, then shouldst thou be far happier than now, when for so many necessities thou must serve the flesh. Oh, that these necessities were not, but only the spiritual refreshments of the soul, which, alas, we taste too seldom. 9. When a man hath come to this, that he seeketh comfort from no created thing, then doth he perfectly begin to enjoy God, then also will he be well contented with whatsoever shall happen unto him. Then will he neither rejoice for much nor be sorrowful for little, but he committeth himself altogether and with full trust unto God, who is all in all to him, to whom nothing perisheth nor dieth, but all things live to him and obey his every word without delay. 10. Remember always thine end, and how the time which is lost returneth not. Without care and diligence thou shalt never get virtue. If thou beginnest to grow cold, it shall begin to go ill with thee. But if thou givest thyself unto zeal, thou shalt find much peace, and shalt find thy labour the lighter because of the grace of God and the love of virtue. A zealous and diligent man is ready for all things. It is greater labour to resist sins and passions than to toil in bodily labours. He who shunneth not small faults falleth little by little into greater. At eventide thou shalt always be glad if thou spend the day profitably. Watch over thyself, stir thyself up, admonish thyself, and howsoever it be with others, neglect not thyself. The more violence thou dost unto thyself, the more thou shalt profit. Amen. 1 Psalm 37 verse 3. The second book, Admonitions Concerning the Inner Life. Chapter 1. Of the Inward Life. The kingdom of God is within you, saith the Lord. Turn thee with all thine heart to the Lord, and forsake this miserable world, and thou shalt find rest unto thy soul. Learn to despise outward things, and to give thyself to things inward, and thou shalt see the kingdom of God come within thee. For the kingdom of God is peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, and it is not given to the wicked. Christ will come to thee, and show thee his consolation, if thou prepare a worthy mansion for him within thee. All his glory and beauty is from within, and there it pleaseth him to dwell. He often visiteth the inward man, and holdeth with him sweet discourse, giving him soothing consolation, much peace, friendship exceeding wonderful. 2. Go to faithful soul, prepare thy heart for this bridegroom, that he may vouchsafe to come to thee and dwell within thee. For so he saith, If any man loveth me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 2. Give therefore place to Christ, and refuse entrance to all others. When thou hast Christ, thou art rich and hast sufficient. He shall be thy provider and faithful watchman in all things, so that thou hast no need to trust in men, for men soon change and swiftly pass away. But Christ remaineth forever, and standeth by us, firmly, even to the end. 3. There is no great trust to be placed in a frail and mortal man, even though he be useful and dear to us, neither should much sorrow arise within us, if sometimes he oppose and contradict us. They who are on thy side today may tomorrow be against thee, and often are they turned round like the wind. Put thy whole trust in God, and let him be thy fear and thy love. He will answer for thee himself, and will do for thee what is best. Here hast thou no continuing city, and wheresoever thou art a stranger and a pilgrim, and thou shalt never have rest unless thou art closely united to Christ within thee. 4. Why dost thou cast thine eyes hither and thither, since this is not the place of thy rest? In heaven ought thy habitation to be, and all earthly things should be looked upon as it were in the passing by. All things pass away, and thou equally with them. Look that thou cleave not to them, lest thou be taken with them and perish. Let thy contemplation be on the Most High, and let thy supplication be directed unto Christ without ceasing. If thou canst not behold high and heavenly things, rest thou in the passion of Christ, and dwell willingly in his sacred wounds. For if thou devoutly fly to the wounds of Jesus and the precious marks of the nails and the spear, thou shalt find great comfort in tribulation, nor will the slights of men trouble thee much, and thou wilt easily bear their unkind words. 5. Christ also, when he was in the world, was despised and rejected of men, and in his greatest necessity was left by his acquaintance and friends to bear these reproaches. Christ was willing to suffer and be despised, and darest thou complain of any? Christ had adversaries and gainsayers, and dost thou wish to have all men thy friends and benefactors? Whence shall thy patience attain her crown, if no adversity befall thee? If thou art unwilling to suffer any adversity, how shalt thou be the friend of Christ? Sustain thyself with Christ and for Christ, if thou wilt reign with Christ. 6. If thou hadst once entered into the mind of Jesus, and hadst tasted yea even a little of his tender love, then wouldst thou care naught for thine own convenience or inconvenience, but wouldst rather rejoice at trouble brought upon thee, because the love of Jesus maketh a man to despise himself. He who loveth Jesus, and is inwardly true and free from inordinate affections, is able to turn himself readily unto God, and to rise above himself in spirit, and to enjoy fruitful peace. 7. He who knoweth things as they are, and not as they are said or seem to be, he truly is wise, and is taught of God more than of men. He who knoweth how to walk from within, and to set little value upon outward things, requireth not places nor waiteth for seasons for holding his intercourse with God. The inward man quickly recollecteth himself, because he is never entirely given up to outward things. No outward labor and no necessary occupation stand in his way, but as events fall out, so doth he fit himself to them. He who is rightly disposed and ordered within careth not for the strange and perverse conduct of men. A man is hindered and distracted in so far as he is moved by outward things. 8. If it were well with thee, and thou wert purified from evil, all things would work together for thy good and profiting. For this cause do many things displease thee, and often trouble thee, that thou art not yet perfectly dead to thyself, nor separated from all earthly things. Nothing so defileth and entangleth the heart of man as impure love towards created things. If thou rejectest outward comfort, thou wilt be able to contemplate heavenly things, and frequently to be joyful inwardly. 1. Luke 17, verse 21. 2. John 14, verse 23. 3. Hebrews 13, verse 14. Chapter 2. Of lowly submission. Make no great account who is for thee or against thee, but mind only the present duty, and take care that God be with thee in whatsoever thou doest, Have a good conscience, and God will defend thee, for he whom God will help, no man's perverseness shall be able to hurt. If thou knowest how to hold thy peace and to suffer, without doubt thou shalt see the help of the Lord. He knoweth the time and the way to deliver thee, therefore must thou resign thyself to him. To God it belongeth to help and to deliver from all confusion. Oftentimes it is very profitable for keeping us in greater humility, that others know and rebuke our faults. 2. When a man humbleth himself for his defects, he then easily pacifieth others, and quickly satisfieth those that are angered against him. God protecteth and delivereth the humble man. He loveth and comforteth the humble man. To the humble man he inclineth himself. On the humble he bestoweth great grace, and when he is cast down he raiseth him to glory. To the humble he revealeth his secrets, and sweetly draweth and inviteth him to himself. The humble man, having received reproach, is yet in sufficient peace, because he resteth on God, and not on the world. Reckon not thyself to have profited in any wise, unless thou feel thyself to be inferior to all. Chapter 3. Of the Good Peaceable Man. First keep thyself in peace, and then shalt thou be able to be a peacemaker towards others. A peaceable man doth more good than a well-learned. A passionate man turneth even good into evil, and easily believeth evil. A good peaceable man converteth all things into good. He who dwelleth in peace is suspicious of none, but he who is discontented and restless is tossed with many suspicions, and is neither quiet himself, nor suffereth others to be quiet. He often saith what he ought not to say, and omitteth what it were more expedient for him to do. He considereth to what duties others are bound, and neglecteth those to which he is bound himself. Therefore be zealous first over thyself, and then mayest thou righteously be zealous concerning thy neighbor. 2. Thou knowest well how to excuse and to color thine own deeds, but thou wilt not accept the excuses of others. It would be more just to accuse thyself and excuse thy brother. If thou wilt that others bear with thee, bear thou with others. Behold how far thou art as yet from the true charity and humility, which knows not how to be angry or indignant against any save self alone. It is no great thing to mingle with the good and the meek, for this is naturally pleasing to all, and every one of us willingly enjoyeth peace and liketh best those who think with us. But to be able to live peaceably with the hard and perverse, or with the disorderly, or those who oppose us, this is a great grace and a thing much to be commended and most worthy of a man. 3. There are who keep themselves in peace, and keep peace also with others, and there are who neither have peace nor suffer others to have peace. They are troublesome to others, but always more troublesome to themselves. And there are who hold themselves in peace and study to bring others unto peace. Nevertheless, all our peace in this sad life lieth in humble suffering, rather than in not feeling adversities. He who best knoweth how to suffer shall possess the most peace. That man is conqueror of himself and lord of the world, the friend of Christ, and the inheritor of heaven. Chapter 4. Of a pure mind and simple intention. By two wings is man lifted above earthly things, even by simplicity and purity. Simplicity ought to be in the intention, purity in the affection. Simplicity reacheth towards God, purity apprehendeth him and tasteth him. No good action will be distasteful to thee if thou be free within from inordinate affection. If thou reachest after and seekest nothing but the will of God and the benefit of thy neighbor, thou wilt entirely enjoy inward liberty. If thine heart were right, then should every creature be a mirror of life and a book of holy doctrine. There is no creature so small and vile, but that it showeth us the goodness of God. 2. If thou wert good and pure within, then wouldst thou look upon all things without hurt and understand them aright. A pure heart seeth the very depths of heaven and hell. Such as each one is inwardly, so judgeth he outwardly. If there is any joy in the world, surely the man of pure heart possesseth it. And if there is anywhere tribulation and anguish, the evil conscience knoweth it best. As iron cast into the fire loseth rust and is made altogether glowing, so the man who turneth himself altogether unto God is freed from slothfulness and changed into a new man. 3. When a man beginneth to grow lukewarm, then he feareth a little labor and willingly accepteth outward consolation. But when he beginneth perfectly to conquer himself, and to walk manfully in the way of God, then he counteth as nothing those things which aforetime seemed to be so grievous unto him. Chapter 5. Of Self-Esteem. We cannot place too little confidence in ourselves, because grace and understanding are often lacking to us. Little light is there within us, and what we have we quickly lose by negligence. Oftentimes we perceive not how great is our inward blindness. We often do ill and excuse it worse. Sometimes we are moved by passion and count it zeal. We blame little faults in others and pass over great faults in ourselves. Quickly enough we feel and reckon up what we bear at the hands of others, but we reflect not how much others are bearing from us. He who would weigh well and rightly his own doings would not be the man to judge severely of another. 2. The spiritually minded man putteth care of himself before all cares, and he who diligently attendeth to himself easily keepeth silence concerning others. Thou wilt never be spiritually minded and godly unless thou art silent concerning other men's matters and take full heed to thyself. If thou think wholly upon thyself and upon God, what thou seest out of doors shall move thee little. Where art thou when thou art not present to thyself? And when thou hast overrun all things, what hath it profited thee thyself being neglected? If thou wouldst have peace and true unity, thou must put aside all other things, and gaze only upon thyself. 3. Then thou shalt make great progress if thou keep thyself free from all temporal care. Thou shalt lamentably fall away if thou set a value upon any worldly thing. Let nothing be great, nothing high, nothing pleasing, nothing acceptable unto thee, save God himself or the things of God. Reckon as altogether vain whatsoever consolation comes to thee from a creature. The soul that loveth God looketh not to anything that is beneath God. God alone is eternal and incomprehensible, filling all things, the solace of the soul, and the true joy of the heart. Chapter 6. Of the joy of a good conscience. The testimony of a good conscience is the glory of a good man. Have a good conscience, and thou shalt ever have joy. A good conscience is able to bear exceeding much, and is exceeding joyful in the midst of adversities. An evil conscience is ever fearful and unquiet. Thou shalt rest sweetly if thy heart condemn thee not. Never rejoice unless when thou hast done well. The wicked have never true joy, nor feel internal peace, for there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Adonan. And if they say we are in peace, there shall no harm happen unto us, and who shall dare to do us hurt? Believe them not, for suddenly shall the wrath of God rise up against them, and their deeds shall be brought to naught, and their thoughts shall perish. 2. To glory in tribulation is not grievous to him who loveth, for such glorying is glorying in the cross of Christ. Brief is the glory which is given and received of men. Sadness always goeth hand in hand with the glory of the world. The glory of the good is in their conscience and not in the report of men. The joy of the upright is from God and in God, and their joy is in the truth. He who desireth true and eternal glory careth not for that which is temporal, and he who seeketh temporal glory or who despiseth it from his heart is proved to bear little love for that which is heavenly. He who careth for neither praises nor reproaches hath great tranquillity of heart. 3. He will easily be contented and filled with peace whose conscience is pure. Thou art none the holier if thou art praised, nor the viler if thou art reproached. Thou art what thou art, and thou canst not be better than God pronounceth thee to be. If thou considerest well what thou art inwardly, thou wilt not care what men will say to thee. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the deed, but God considereth the intent. It is the token of a humble spirit always to do well, and to set little by oneself. Not to look for consolation from any created thing is a sign of great purity and inward faithfulness. 4. He that seeketh no outward witness on his own behalf showeth plainly that he hath committed himself wholly to God. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, as St. Paul saith, but whom the Lord commendeth. To walk inwardly with God, and not to be held by any outer affections, is the state of a spiritual man. 1. Isaiah 57, verse 21, 2. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, 3. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. Chapter 7. Of loving Jesus above all things. Blessed is he who understandeth what it is to love Jesus and to despise himself for Jesus' sake. He must give up all that he loveth for his beloved, for Jesus will be loved alone above all things. The love of created things is deceiving and unstable, but the love of Jesus is faithful and lasting. He who cleaveth to created things will fall with their slipperiness, but he who embraceth Jesus will stand upright forever. Love him and hold him for thy friend, for he will not forsake thee when all depart from thee, nor will he suffer thee to perish at the last. Thou must one day be separated from all, whether thou wilt or wilt not. 2. Cleave thou to Jesus in life and death, and commit thyself unto his faithfulness, who, when all men fail thee, is alone able to help thee. Thy beloved is such by nature that he will suffer no rival, but alone will possess thy heart, and as a king will sit upon his own throne. If thou wouldst learn to put away from thee every created thing, Jesus would freely take up his abode with thee. Thou wilt find all trust little better than lost, which thou hast placed in men and not in Jesus. Trust not nor lean upon a reed shaken with the wind, because all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof falleth as the flower of the field. 1. 3. Thou wilt be quickly deceived if thou lookest only upon the outward appearance of men, for if thou seekest thy comfort and profit in others, thou shalt too often experience loss. If thou seekest Jesus in all things, thou shalt verily find Jesus, but if thou seekest thyself, thou shalt also find thyself, but to thine own hurt. For if a man seeketh not Jesus, he is more hurtful to himself than all the world and all his adversaries. 1. Isaiah 40 verse 6, chapter 8, of the intimate love of Jesus. When Jesus is present, all is well and nothing seemeth hard, but when Jesus is not present, everything is hard. When Jesus speaketh not within, our comfort is nothing worth, but if Jesus speaketh but a single word, great is the comfort we experience. Did not Mary Magdalene rise up quickly from the place where she wept when Martha said to her, "The Master is come and calleth for thee"? 1. Happy hour when Jesus calleth thee from tears to the joy of the Spirit. How dry and hard art thou without Jesus? How senseless and vain if thou desirest aught beyond Jesus? Is not this greater loss than if thou shouldst lose the whole world? 2. What can the world profit thee without Jesus? To be without Jesus is the nethermost hell, and to be with Jesus is sweet paradise. If Jesus were with thee, no enemy could hurt thee. He who findeth Jesus findeth a good treasure, yea, good above all good, and he who loseth Jesus loseth exceeding much, yea, more than the whole world. Most poor is he who liveth without Jesus, and most rich is he who is much with Jesus. 3. It is great skill to know how to live with Jesus, and to know how to hold Jesus is great wisdom. Be thou humble and peaceable, and Jesus shall be with thee. Be godly and quiet, and Jesus will remain with thee. Thou canst quickly drive away Jesus and lose his favor if thou wilt turn away to the outer things. And if thou hast put him to flight and lost him, to whom wilt thou flee, and whom then wilt thou seek for a friend? Without a friend thou canst not live long, and if Jesus be not thy friend above all, thou shalt be very sad and desolate. Madly therefore doest thou if thou trusteth or findest joy in any other. It is preferable to have the whole world against thee than Jesus offended with thee, therefore of all that are dear to thee let Jesus be specially loved. 4. Let all be loved for Jesus' sake, but Jesus for his own. Jesus Christ alone is to be specially loved, for he alone is found good and faithful above all friends. For his sake and in him let both enemies and friends be dear to thee, and pray for them all that they may all know and love him. Never desire to be specially praised or loved, because this belongeth to God alone, who hath none like unto himself. Nor wish thou that anyone set his heart on thee, nor do thou give thyself up to the love of any, but let Jesus be in thee and in every good man. 5. Be pure and free within thyself, and be not entangled by any created thing. Thou oughtest to bring a bare and clean heart to God, if thou desirest to be ready to see how gracious the Lord is. And in truth, unless thou be prevented and drawn on by his grace, thou wilt not attain to this, that having cast out and dismissed all else, thou alone art united to God. For when the grace of God cometh to a man, then he becometh able to do all things, and when it departeth, then he will be poor and weak and given up unto troubles. In these thou art not to be cast down nor to despair, but to rest with calm mind on the will of God, and to bear all things which come upon thee unto the praise of Jesus Christ. For after winter cometh summer, after night returneth day, after the tempest a great calm. 1 John 11, verse 28. Chapter 9. Of the lack of all comfort. It is no hard thing to despise human comfort when divine is present. It is a great thing, yea, very great, to be able to bear the loss both of human and divine comfort. And for the love of God willingly to bear exile of heart, and in naught to seek oneself, nor to look to one's own merit. What great matter is it, if thou be cheerful of heart and devout when favor cometh to thee? That is an hour wherein all rejoice. Pleasantly enough doth he ride whom the grace of God carrieth. And what marvel if he feeleth no burden who is carried by the Almighty and is led onwards by the guide from on high? 2. We are willing to accept anything for comfort, and it is difficult for a man to be freed from himself. The holy martyr Lawrence overcame the love of the world and even of his priestly master, because he despised everything in the world which seemed to be pleasant, and for the love of Christ he calmly suffered even God's chief priest, Sixtus, whom he dearly loved, to be taken from him. Thus, by the love of the Creator, he overcame the love of man, and instead of human comfort he chose rather God's good pleasure. So also learn thou to resign any near and beloved friend for the love of God. Nor take it amiss when thou hast been deserted by a friend, knowing that we must all be parted from one another at last. 3. Mightily and long must a man strive within himself before he learn altogether to overcome himself, and to draw his whole affection towards God. When a man resteth upon himself, he easily slippeth away unto human comforts. But a true lover of Christ and a diligent seeker after virtue falleth not back upon those comforts, nor seeketh such sweetness as may be tasted and handled, but desireth rather hard exercises, and to undertake severe labors for Christ. 4. When therefore spiritual comfort is given by God, receive it with giving of thanks, and know that it is the gift of God, not thy desert. Be not lifted up, rejoice not overmuch, nor foolishly presume, but rather be more humble for the gift, more wary and more careful in all thy doings. For that hour will pass away, and temptation will follow. When comfort is taken from thee, do not straightway despair, but wait for the heavenly visitation with humility and patience, for God is able to give thee back greater favor and consolation. This is not new nor strange to those who have made trial of the way of God, for with the great saints and the ancient prophets there was often this manner of change. 5. Wherefore one said when the favor of God was present with him, I said in my prosperity I shall never be moved, but he goeth on to say what he felt within himself when the favor departed. Thou didst turn thy face from me, and I was troubled, in spite whereof he in no wise despaireth, but the more instantly entreateth God, and saith, Unto thee, O Lord, will I cry, and will pray unto my God. And then he receiveth the fruit of his prayer, and testifieth how he hath been heard, saying, The Lord heard me, and had mercy upon me, the Lord was my helper. But wherein? Thou hast turned my heaviness into joy, thou hast put off my sackcloth, and girded me with gladness. If it was thus with the great saints, we who are poor and needy ought not to despair if we are sometimes in the warmth, and sometimes in the cold, for the Spirit cometh and goeth according to the good pleasure of his will. Wherefore holy Job saith, Thou dost visit him in the morning, and suddenly thou dost prove him. 2. 6. Whereupon then can I hope, or wherein may I trust, save only in the great mercy of God, and the hope of heavenly grace? For whether good men are with me, godly brethren or faithful friends, whether holy books or beautiful discourses, whether sweet hymns and songs, all these help but little, and have but little savor, when I am deserted by God's favor, and left to mine own poverty. There is no better remedy, then, than patience and denial of self and an abiding in the will of God. 7. I have never found any man so religious and godly, but that he felt sometimes a withdrawal of the divine favor and lack of fervor. No saint was ever so filled with rapture, so enlightened, but that sooner or later he was tempted. For he is not worthy of the great vision of God, who for God's sake hath not been exercised by some temptation. For temptation is wont to go before as a sign of the comfort which shall follow, and heavenly comfort is promised to those who are proved by temptation. As it is written, To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life. 3. 8. Divine comfort is given that a man may be stronger to bear adversities, and temptation followeth, lest he be lifted up because of the benefit. The devil sleepeth not, thy flesh is not yet dead. Therefore cease thou not to make thyself ready unto the battle, for enemies stand on thy right hand and on thy left, and they are never at rest. 1. Psalm 30, verse 6. 2. Job 7, verse 18. 3. Revelation 2, verse 7. Chapter 10. Of gratitude for the grace of God, and why seekest thou rest when thou art born to labor? Prepare thyself for patience more than for comforts, and for bearing the cross more than for joy. For who among the men of this world would not gladly receive consolation and spiritual joy if he might always have it? For spiritual comforts exceed all the delights of the world, and all the pleasures of the flesh. for all worldly delights are either empty or unclean, whilst spiritual delights alone are pleasant and honorable, the offspring of virtue, and poured forth by God into pure minds. But no man can always enjoy these divine comforts at his own will, because the season of temptation ceaseth not for long. 2. Great is the difference between a visitation from above and false liberty of spirit and great confidence in self. God doeth well in giving us the grace of comfort, but man doeth ill in not immediately giving God thanks thereof, and thus the gifts of grace are not able to flow unto us, because we are ungrateful to the author of them, and return them not wholly to the fountain whence they flow. For grace ever becometh the portion of him who is grateful, and that is taken away from the proud, which is wont to be given to the humble. 3. I desire no consolation which taketh away from me compunction. I love no contemplation which leadeth to pride. For all that is high is not holy, nor is everything that is sweet good. Every desire is not pure, nor is everything that is dear to us pleasing unto God. Willingly do I accept that grace whereby I am made humbler and more wary and more ready to renounce myself. He who is made learned by the gift of grace and taught wisdom by the stroke of the withdrawal thereof will not dare to claim any good thing for himself, but will rather confess that he is poor and needy. Give unto God the thing which is God's, and ascribe to thyself that which is thine, that is, give thanks unto God for his grace, but for thyself alone confess thy fault, and that thy punishment is deserved for thy fault. 4. Sit thou down always in the lowest room, and thou shalt be given the highest place. 2. For the highest cannot be without the lowest. For the highest saints of God are least in their own sight, and the more glorious they are, so much the lowlier are they in themselves. Full of grace and heavenly glory, they are not desirous of vainglory. Resting on God and strong in his might, they cannot be lifted up in any wise. And they who ascribe unto God all the good which they have received, seek not glory one of another, but the glory which cometh from God only, and they desire that God shall be praised in himself and in all his saints above all things, and they are always striving for this very thing. 5. Be thankful, therefore, for the least benefit, and thou shalt be worthy to receive greater. Let the least be unto thee even as the greatest, and let that which is of little account be unto thee as a special gift. If the majesty of the giver be considered, nothing that is given shall seem small and of no worth, for that is not a small thing which is given by the Most High God. Yea, though he gave punishment and stripes, we ought to be thankful because he ever doth for our profit whatever he suffereth to come upon us. He who seeketh to retain the favour of God, let him be thankful for the favour which is given, and patient in respect of that which is taken away. Let him pray that it may return, let him be wary and humble that he lose it not. 1 Matthew 22 verse 21, 2 Luke 14 verse 10, chapter 11 and of the fewness of those who love the cross of Jesus. Jesus hath many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few bearers of his cross. He hath many seekers of comfort, but few of tribulation. He findeth many companions of his table, but few of his fasting. All desire to rejoice with him, few are willing to undergo anything for his sake. Many follow Jesus that they may eat of his loaves, but few that they may drink of the cup of his passion. Many are astonished at his miracles, few follow after the shame of his cross. Many love Jesus so long as no adversities happen to them. Many praise him and bless him, so long as they receive any comforts from him. But if Jesus hide himself and withdraw from them a little while, they fall either into complaining or into too great dejection of mind. 2. But they who love Jesus for Jesus' sake, and not for any consolation of their own, bless him in all tribulation and anguish of heart, as in the highest consolation. And if he should never give them consolation, nevertheless they would always praise him and always give him thanks. 3. O, what power hath the pure love of Jesus, unmixed with any gain or love of self! Should not all they be called mercenary who are always seeking consolations? Do they not prove themselves lovers of self more than of Christ, who are always seeking their own gain and advantage? Where shall be found one who is willing to serve God altogether for naught? 4. Rarely is anyone found so spiritual as to be stripped of all selfish thoughts, for who shall find a man truly poor in spirit and free of all created things? His value is from afar, yea, from the ends of the earth. A man may give away all his goods, yet that is nothing. And if he do many deeds of penitence, yet that is a small thing. And though he understand all knowledge, yet that is afar off. And if he have great virtue and zealous devotion, yet much is lacking unto him, yea, one thing which is the most necessary to him of all. What is it then? That having given up all things besides, he give up himself and go forth from himself utterly, and retain nothing of self-love. And having done all things which he knoweth to be his duty to do, that he feel that he hath done nothing. Let him not reckon that much which might be much esteemed, but let him pronounce himself to be in truth an unprofitable servant, as the truth himself saith. When ye have done all things that are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. Then may he be truly poor and naked in spirit, and be able to say with the prophet, as for me, I am poor and needy. Nevertheless, no man is richer than he, no man stronger, no man freer. For he knoweth both how to give up himself and all things, and how to be lowly in his own eyes. 1 Luke 17 verse 10, 2 Psalm 25 verse 16, chapter 12 and of the royal way of the Holy Cross. That seemeth a hard saying to many, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But it will be much harder to hear that last sentence, depart from me, ye wicked, into eternal fire. 2. For they who now willingly hear the word of the cross and follow it, shall not then fear the hearing of eternal damnation. This sign of the cross shall be in heaven when the Lord cometh to judgment. Then all servants of the cross, who in life have conformed themselves to the crucified, shall draw nigh unto Christ the judge with great boldness. 2. Why fearest thou then to take up the cross which leadeth to a kingdom? In the cross is health, in the cross is life, in the cross is protection from enemies, in the cross is heavenly sweetness, in the cross strength of mind, in the cross joy of the spirit, in the cross the height of virtue, in the cross perfection of holiness. There is no health of the soul, no hope of eternal life, save in the cross. Take up therefore thy cross and follow Jesus, and thou shalt go into eternal life. He went before thee bearing his cross and died for thee upon the cross, that thou also mayest bear thy cross and mayest love to be crucified upon it. For if thou be dead with him, thou shalt also live with him. And if thou be a partaker of his sufferings, thou shalt be also of his glory. 3. Behold, everything dependeth upon the cross, and everything lieth in dying. And there is none other way unto life, and to true inward peace, except the way of the Holy Cross, and of daily mortification. Go where thou wilt, seek whatsoever thou wilt, and thou shalt find no higher way above nor safer way below than the way of the Holy Cross. Dispose and order all things according to thine own will and judgment, and thou shalt ever find something to suffer either willingly or unwillingly, and thus thou shalt ever find thy cross. For thou shalt either feel pain of body or tribulation of spirit within thy soul. 4. Sometimes thou wilt be forsaken of God, sometimes thou wilt be tried by thy neighbour, and which is more, thou wilt often be wearisome to thyself, and still thou canst not be delivered nor eased by any remedy or consolation, but must bear so long as God will. For God will have thee learn to suffer tribulation without consolation, and to submit thyself fully to it, and by tribulation be made more humble. No man understandeth the passion of Christ in his heart so well as he who hath had somewhat of the like suffering himself. The cross therefore is always ready, and everywhere waiteth for thee. Thou canst not flee from it whithersoever thou hurriest, for whithersoever thou comest, thou bearest thyself with thee, and shalt ever find thyself. Turn thee above, turn thee below, turn thee without, turn thee within, and in them all thou shalt find the cross. And needful is it that thou everywhere possess patience if thou wilt have internal peace and gain the everlasting crown. 5. If thou willingly bear the cross, it will bear thee and will bring thee to the end which thou seekest, even where there shall be the end of suffering, though it shall not be here. If thou bear it unwillingly, thou makest a burden for thyself and greatly increaseth thy load, and yet thou must bear it. If thou cast away one cross, without doubt thou shalt find another, and perchance a heavier. 6. Thinketh thou to escape what no mortal hath been able to avoid? Which of the saints in the world hath been without the cross in tribulation? For not even Jesus Christ our Lord was 1 hour without the anguish of his passion so long as he lived. It behooved, he said, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and so enter into his glory. And how dost thou seek another way than this royal way, which is the way of the Holy Cross? 7. The whole life of Christ was a cross and martyrdom, and dost thou seek for thyself rest and joy? Thou art wrong, if thou seekest aught but to suffer tribulations, for this whole mortal life is full of miseries and set round with crosses. And the higher a man hath advanced in the spirit, the heavier crosses he will often find, because the sorrow of his banishment increaseth with the strength of his love. 8. But yet the man who is thus in so many wise afflicted is not without refreshment of consolation, because he feeleth abundant fruit to be growing within him out of the bearing of his cross. For whilst he willingly submitteth himself to it, every burden of tribulation is turned into an assurance of divine comfort, and the more the flesh is wasted by affliction, the more is the spirit strengthened mightily by inward grace, and oft times so greatly is he comforted by the desire for tribulation and adversity, through love of conformity to the cross of Christ, that he would not be without sorrow and tribulation, for he believeth that he shall be the more acceptable to God, the more and the heavier burdens he is able to bear for his sake. This is not the virtue of man, but the grace of Christ which hath such power and energy in the weak flesh, that what it naturally hateth and fleeth from, this it draweth to and loveth through fervor of spirit. 9. It is not in the nature of man to bear the cross, to love the cross, to keep under the body, and to bring it into subjection, to fly from honors, to bear reproaches meekly, to despise self and desire to be despised, to bear all adversities and losses, and to desire no prosperity in this world. If thou lookest to thyself, thou wilt of thyself be able to do none of this. But if thou trustest in the Lord, endurance shall be given thee from heaven, and the world and the flesh shall be made subject to thy command. Yea, thou shalt not even fear thine adversary the devil, if thou be armed with faith and signed with the cross of Christ. 10. Set thyself therefore like a good and faithful servant of Christ, to the manful bearing of the cross of thy Lord, who out of love was crucified for thee. Prepare thyself for the bearing many adversities and manifold troubles in this wretched life, because so it shall be with thee wheresoever thou art, and so in very deed thou shalt find it, wherever thou hide thyself. This it must be. And there is no means of escaping from tribulation and sorrow except to bear them patiently. Drink thou lovingly thy Lord's cup if thou desirest to be his friend, and to have thy lot with him. Leave consolations to God, let him do as seemeth best to him concerning them. But do thou set thyself to endure tribulations, and reckon them the best consolations. For the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Nor would they be even if thou wert to endure them all. 11. When thou hast come to this, that tribulation is sweet and pleasant to thee for Christ's sake, then reckon that it is well with thee, because thou hast found paradise on earth. So long as it is hard to thee to suffer and thou desirest to escape, so long it will not be well with thee, and tribulations will follow thee everywhere. 12. If thou settest thyself to that thou oughtest, namely to suffer and to die, it shall soon go better with thee, and thou shalt find peace. Though thou shouldest be caught up with Paul unto the third heaven, 5, thou art not on that account secure from suffering evil. I will show him, saith Jesus, what great things he must suffer for my name's sake, 6. It remaineth therefore to thee to suffer, if thou wilt love Jesus and serve him continually. 13. O that thou wert worthy to suffer something for the name of Jesus, how great glory should await thee! What rejoicing among all the saints of God! What bright example also to thy neighbor! For all men commend patience, although few be willing to practice it. Thou oughtest surely to suffer a little for Christ, when many suffer heavier things for the world. 14. Know thou of a surety that thou oughtest to lead the life of a dying man. And the more a man dieth to himself, the more he beginneth to live towards God. None is fit for the understanding of heavenly things, unless he hath submitted himself to bearing adversities for Christ. Nothing more acceptable to God, nothing more healthful for thyself in this world, than to suffer willingly for Christ. And if it were thine to choose, thou oughtest rather to wish to suffer adversities for Christ, than to be refreshed with manifold consolations, for thou wouldest be more like Christ, and more conformed to all saints. For our worthiness and growth in grace lieth not in many delights and consolations, but rather in bearing many troubles and adversities. 15. If indeed there had been anything better and more profitable to the health of men than to suffer, Christ would surely have shown it by word and example. For both the disciples who followed him, and all who desire to follow him, he plainly exhorteth to bear their cross, and saith, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 7. So now that we have thoroughly read and studied all things, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. We must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. 8. 1 Matthew 16 verse 24. 2. Matthew 25, verse 41. 3. Luke 24, verse 46. 4. Romans 8, verse 18. 5. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2. 6. Acts 9, verse 16. 7. Luke 9, verse 23. 8. Acts 14, verse 21. The Third Book on Inward Consolation. Chapter 1. Of the Inward Voice of Christ to the Faithful Soul. I will hearken what the Lord God shall say within me. 1. Blessed is the soul which heareth the Lord speaking within it, and receiveth the word of consolation from his mouth. Blessed are the ears which receive the echoes of the soft whisper of God, and turn not aside to the whisperings of this world. Blessed truly are the ears which listen not to the voice that soundeth without, but to that which teacheth truth inwardly. Blessed are the eyes which are closed to things without, but are fixed upon things within. Blessed are they who search inward things, and study to prepare themselves more and more by daily exercises for the receiving of heavenly mysteries. Blessed are they who long to have leisure for God, and free themselves from every hindrance of the world. Think on these things, O my soul, and shut the doors of thy carnal desires, so mayest thou hear what the Lord God will say within thee. 2. These things saith thy beloved, I am thy salvation, I am thy peace and thy life. Keep thee unto me, and thou shalt find peace. Put away thee all transitory things, seek those things that are eternal. For what are all temporal things but deceits, and what shall all created things help thee if thou be forsaken by the Creator? Therefore put all things else away, and give thyself to the Creator, to be well-pleasing and faithful to him, that thou mayest be able to attain true blessedness. 1. Psalm 85, verse 8. Chapter 2. What the truth saith inwardly without noise of words. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. 1. I am thy servant. O give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Incline my heart unto the words of thy mouth. 2. Let thy speech distill as the dew. The children of Israel spake in old time to Moses, Speak thou unto us, and we will hear. But let not the Lord speak unto us, lest we die. Not thus, O Lord, not thus do I pray. But rather with Samuel the prophet I beseech thee humbly and earnestly, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Let not Moses speak to me, nor any prophet, but rather speak thou, O Lord, who didst inspire and illuminate all the prophets. For thou alone without them canst perfectly fill me with knowledge, whilst they without thee shall profit nothing. 2. They can indeed utter words, but they give not the Spirit. They speak with exceeding beauty, but when thou art silent they kindle not the heart. They give us scriptures, but thou makest known the sense thereof. They bring us mysteries, but thou revealest the things which are signified. They utter commandments, but thou helpest to the fulfilling of them. They show the way, but thou givest strength for the journey. They act only outwardly, but thou dost instruct and enlighten the heart. They water, but thou givest the increase. They cry with words, but thou givest understanding to the hearer. 3. Therefore let not Moses speak to me, but thou, O Lord my God, eternal truth, lest I die and bring forth no fruit, being outwardly admonished, but not enkindled within, lest the word heard but not followed, known but not loved, believed but not obeyed, rise up against me in the judgment. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, thou hast the words of eternal life. 4. Speak unto me for some consolation unto my soul, for the amendment of my whole life, and for the praise and glory and eternal honor of thy name. 1. 1 Samuel 3, verse 9. 2. Psalm 119, verse 125. 3. Exodus 20, verse 19. 4. John 6, verse 68. Chapter 3. The how all the words of God are to be heard with humility, and how many consider them not. My son, hear my words, for my words are most sweet, surpassing all the knowledge of the philosophers and wise men of this world. My words are spirit, and they are life, wend, and are not to be weighed by man's understanding. They are not to be drawn forth for vain approbation, but to be heard in silence, and to be received with all humility and with deep love. 2. And I said, Blessed is the man whom thou teachest, O Lord, and instructest him in thy law, that thou mayest give him rest in time of adversity, and that he be not desolate in the earth. 3. I, saith the Lord, taught the prophets from the beginning, and even now cease I not to speak unto all. But many are deaf and hardened against my voice. Many love to listen to the world rather than to God. They follow after the desires of the flesh more readily than after the good pleasure of God. The world promiseth things that are temporal and small, and it is served with great eagerness. I promise things that are great and eternal, and the hearts of mortals are slow to stir. Who serveth and obeyeth me in all things with such carefulness as he serveth the world and its rulers? Be thou ashamed, O Sidon, saith the sea, and if thou reason seekest, hear thou me. For a little reward men make a long journey. For eternal life many will scarce lift a foot once from the ground. Mean reward is sought after. For a single piece of money sometimes there is shameful striving. For a thing which is vain and for a trifling promise men shrink not from toiling day and night. 4. But O shame! For an unchangeable good, for an inestimable reward, for the highest honour and for a glory that fadeth not away, it is irksome to them to toil even a little. Be thou ashamed, therefore, slothful and discontented servant, for they are found readier unto perdition than thou unto life. They rejoice more heartily in vanity than thou in the truth. Sometimes, indeed, they are disappointed of their hope. But my promise faileth no man, nor sendeth away empty him who trusteth in me. What I have promised I will give, what I have said I will fulfil, if only a man remain faithful in my love unto the end. Therefore am I the rewarder of all good men, and a strong approver of all who are godly. 5. Write my words in thy heart, and consider them diligently, for they shall be very needful to thee in time of temptation. What thou understandest not when thou readest, thou shalt know in the time of thy visitation. I am wont to visit mine elect in twofold manner, even by temptation and by comfort, and I teach them two lessons day by day, the one in chiding their faults, the other in exhorting them to grow in grace. He who hath my words and rejecteth them, hath one who shall judge him at the last day. A prayer for the spirit of devotion. 6. O Lord my God, thou art all my good, and who am I that I should dare to speak unto thee? I am the very poorest of thy servants, an abject worm, much poorer and more despicable than I know or dare to say. Nevertheless, remember, O Lord, that I am nothing, I have nothing, and can do nothing. Thou only art good, just, and holy. Thou canst do all things, art over all things, fillest all things, leaving empty only the sinner. Call to mind thy tender mercies, and fill my heart with thy grace, thou who wilt not that thy work should return to thee void. 7. How can I bear this miserable life unless thy mercy and grace strengthen me? Turn not away thy face from me. Delay not thy visitation. Withdraw not thou thy comfort from me, lest my soul gasp after thee as a thirsty land. Lord, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to walk humbly and uprightly before thee. For thou art my wisdom, who knowest me in truth, and knewest me before the world was made, and before I was born into the world. 1. John 6, verse 63, 2, Psalm 94, verse 13 and 3, Isaiah 23, verse 4. Chapter 4, How we must walk in truth and humility before God. My son, walk before me in truth, and in the simplicity of thy heart seek me continually. He who walketh before me in the truth shall be safe from evil assaults, and the truth shall deliver him from the wiles and slanders of the wicked. If the truth shall make thee free, thou shalt be free indeed, and shalt not care for the vain words of men. 2. Lord, it is true as thou sayest. Let it, I pray thee, be so with me. Let thy truth teach me. Let it keep me, and preserve me safe unto the end. Let it free me from all evil and inordinate affection, and I will walk before thee in great freedom of heart. 3. I will teach thee, saith the truth, the things which are right and pleasing before me. Think upon thy sins with great displeasure and sorrow, and never think thyself anything because of thy good works. Verily thou art a sinner liable to many passions, yea, tied and bound with them. Of thyself thou always tendest unto nothing. Thou wilt quickly fall, quickly be conquered, quickly disturbed, quickly undone. Thou hast naught whereof to glory, but many reasons why thou shouldest reckon thyself vile, for thou art far weaker than thou art able to comprehend. 4. Let therefore nothing which thou doest seem to thee great. Let nothing be grand, nothing of value or beauty, nothing worthy of honour, nothing lofty, nothing praiseworthy or desirable, save what is eternal. Let the eternal truth please thee above all things. Let thine own great vileness displease thee continually. Fear, denounce, flee nothing so much as thine own faults and sins, which ought to be more displeasing to thee than any loss whatsoever of goods. There are some who walk not sincerely before me, But being led by curiosity and pride, they desire to know my secret things and to understand the deep things of God, whilst they neglect themselves and their salvation. These often fall into great temptations and sins because of their pride and curiosity, for I am against them. 5. Fear thou the judgments of God, fear greatly the wrath of the Almighty. Shrink from debating upon the works of the Most High, but search narrowly thine own iniquities into what great sins thou hast fallen and how many good things thou hast neglected. There are some who carry their devotion only in books, some in pictures, some in outward signs and figures. Some have me in their mouths, but little in their hearts. Others there are who, being enlightened in their understanding and purged in their affections, continually long after eternal things, hear of earthly things with unwillingness, obey the necessities of nature with sorrow. And these understand what the Spirit of truth speaketh in them. For he teacheth them to despise earthly things and to love heavenly, to neglect the world and to desire heaven all the day and night. Chapter 5. Of the Wonderful Power of the Divine Love. I bless thee, O Heavenly Father, Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, for that thou hast vouchsafed to think of me, poor that I am. O Father of mercies and God of all comfort, I give thanks unto thee, who refreshest me sometimes with thine own comfort, when I am unworthy of any comfort. I bless and glorify thee continually, with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost the Paraclete, for ever and ever. O Lord God, holy lover of my soul, when thou shalt come into my heart, all my inward parts shall rejoice. Thou art my glory and the joy of my heart. Thou art my hope and my refuge in the day of my trouble. 2. But because I am still weak in love and imperfect in virtue, I need to be strengthened and comforted by thee. Therefore visit thou me often and instruct me with thy holy ways of discipline. Deliver me from evil passions and cleanse my heart from all inordinate affections, that being healed and altogether cleansed within, I may be made ready to love, strong to suffer, steadfast to endure. 3. Love is a great thing, a good above all others, which alone maketh every heavy burden light, and equalizeth every inequality. For it beareth the burden and maketh it no burden, it maketh every bitter thing to be sweet and of good taste. The surpassing love of Jesus impelleth to great works, and exciteth to the continual desiring of greater perfection. Love willeth to be raised up, and not to be held down by any mean thing. Love willeth to be free and aloof from all worldly affection, lest its inward power of vision be hindered, lest it be entangled by any worldly prosperity, or overcome by adversity. Nothing is sweeter than love, nothing stronger, nothing loftier, nothing broader, nothing pleasanter, nothing fuller or better in heaven nor on earth. For love was born of God and cannot rest save in God above all created things. 4. He who loveth flieth, runneth, and is glad. He is free and not hindered. He giveth all things for all things, and hath all things in all things, because he resteth in one who is high above all, from whom every good floweth and proceedeth. He looketh not for gifts, but turneth himself to the giver above all good things. Love oftentimes knoweth no measure, but breaketh out above all measure. Love feeleth no burden, reckoneth not labours, striveth after more than it is able to do, pleadeth not impossibility, because it judgeth all things which are lawful for it to be possible. It is strong therefore for all things, and it fulfilleth many things, and is successful where he who loveth not faileth and lieth down. 5. Love is watchful, and while sleeping still keepeth watch, though fatigued it is not weary, though pressed, it is not forced, though alarmed, it is not terrified, but like the living flame and the burning torch, it breaketh forth on high and securely triumpheth. If a man loveth, he knoweth what this voice crieth, for the ardent affection of the soul is a great clamour in the ears of God, and it saith, My God, my beloved, thou art all mine, and I am all thine. 6. Enlarge thou me in love, that I may learn to taste with the innermost mouth of my heart how sweet it is to love, to be dissolved, and to swim in love. Let me be holden by love, mounting above myself through exceeding fervor and admiration. Let me sing the song of love. Let me follow thee, my beloved, on high. Let my soul exhaust itself in thy praise, exulting with love. Let me love thee more than myself, not loving myself except for thy sake, and all men in thee who truly love thee, as the law of love commandeth, which shineth forth from thee. 7. Love is swift, sincere, pious, pleasant, gentle, strong, patient, faithful, prudent, long-suffering, manly, and never seeking her own. For wheresoever a man seeketh his own, there he falleth from love. Love is circumspect, humble, and upright, not weak, not fickle, nor intent on vain things, sober, chaste, steadfast, quiet, and guarded in all the senses. Love is subject and obedient to all that are in authority, vile and lowly in its own sight, devout and grateful towards God, faithful and always trusting in him even when God hideth his face, for without sorrow we cannot live in love. 8. He who is not ready to suffer all things, and to conform to the will of the beloved, is not worthy to be called a lover of God. It behoveth him who loveth to embrace willingly all hard and bitter things for the beloved's sake, and not to be drawn away from him because of any contrary accidents. 1. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, chapter 6, of the proving of the true lover. My son, thou art not yet strong and prudent in thy love. 2. Wherefore, O my Lord? 3. Because for a little opposition thou fallest away from thy undertakings, and too eagerly seekest after consolation. The strong lover standeth fast in temptations, and believeth not the evil persuasions of the enemy. As in prosperity I please him, so in adversity I do not displease. 4. The prudent lover considereth not the gift of the lover so much as the love of the giver. He looketh for the affection more than the value, and setteth all gifts lower than the beloved. The noble lover resteth not in the gift, but in me above every gift. 5. All is not lost, though thou sometimes think of me or of my saints, less than thou shouldest desire. That good and sweet affection which thou sometimes perceivest is the effect of present grace and some foretaste of the heavenly country. But hereon thou must not too much depend, for it goeth and cometh. But to strive against the evil motions of the mind which come to us, and to resist the suggestions of the devil, is a token of virtue and great merit. 6. Therefore let not strange fancies disturb thee whencesoever they arise. Bravely observe thy purpose and thy upright intentions towards God. It is not an illusion when thou art sometimes suddenly carried away into rapture, and then suddenly art brought back to the wonted vanities of thy heart. For thou dost rather unwillingly undergo them than cause them, and so long as they displease thee, and thou strivest against them, it is a merit and no loss. 7. Know thou that thine old enemy altogether striveth to hinder thy pursuit after good, and to deter thee from every godly exercise, to wit, the contemplation of the saints, the pious remembrance of my passion, the profitable recollection of sin, the keeping of thy own heart, and the steadfast purpose to grow in virtue. He suggesteth to thee many evil thoughts, that he may work in thee weariness and terror, and so draw thee away from prayer and holy reading. Humble confession displeaseth him, and if he were able, he would make thee to cease from communion. Believe him not, nor heed him, though many a time he hath laid for thee the snares of deceit. Account it to be from him when he suggesteth evil and unclean thoughts. Say unto him, Depart, unclean spirit, put on shame, miserable one. Horribly unclean art thou, who bringest such things to mine ears. Depart from me, detestable deceiver. Thou shalt have no part in me, but Jesus shall be with me as a strong warrior, and thou shalt stand confounded. Rather would I die and bear all suffering than consent unto thee. Hold thy peace and be dumb. I will not hear thee more, though thou plottest more snares against me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? Though a host of men should rise up against me, yet shall not my heart be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my redeemer. 1:8. Strive thou like a good soldier. And if sometimes thou fail through weakness, put on thy strength more bravely than before, trusting in my more abundant grace, and take thou much heed of vain confidence and pride. Because of it many are led into error, and sometimes fall into blindness well nigh irremediable. Let this ruin of the proud who foolishly lift themselves up be to thee for a warning and a continual exhortation to humility. 1. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3, 19.14. Chapter 7. Of hiding our grace under the guard of humility. My son, it is better and safer for thee to hide the grace of devotion, and not to lift thyself up on high, nor to speak much thereof, nor to value it greatly, but rather to despise thyself, and to fear as though this grace were given to one unworthy thereof. Nor must thou depend too much upon this feeling, for it can very quickly be turned into its opposite. Think when thou art in a state of grace how miserable and poor thou art wont to be without grace. Nor is there advance in spiritual life in this alone, that thou hast the grace of consolation, but that thou humbly and unselfishly and patiently takest the withdrawal thereof, so that thou cease not from the exercise of prayer, nor suffer thy other common duties to be in any wise neglected. Rather do thy task more readily, as though thou hadst gained more strength and knowledge. And do not altogether neglect thyself because of the dearth and anxiety of spirit which thou feelest. 2. For there are many who, when things have not gone prosperous with them, become forthwith impatient or slothful. For the way of a man is not in himself, 1. But it is God's to give and to console when he will, and as much as he will, and whom he will as it shall please him, and no further. Some who were presumptuous because of the grace of devotion within them have destroyed themselves because they would do more than they were able, not considering the measure of their own littleness, but rather following the impulse of the heart than the judgment of the reason. And because they presumed beyond what was well-pleasing unto God, therefore they quickly lost grace. They became poor and were left vile who had built for themselves their nest in heaven, so that being humbled and stricken with poverty, they might learn not to fly with their own wings, but to put their trust under my feathers. They who are as yet new and unskilled in the way of the Lord, unless they rule themselves after the counsel of the wise, may easily be deceived and led away. 3. But if they wish to follow their own fancies rather than trust the experience of others, the result will be very dangerous to them if they still refuse to be drawn away from their own notion. Those who are wise in their own conceits seldom patiently endure to be ruled by others. It is better to have a small portion of wisdom with humility and a slender understanding than great treasures of sciences with vain self-esteem. It is better for thee to have less than much of what may make thee proud. He doeth not very discreetly who giveth up himself entirely to joy, forgetting his former helplessness and the chaste fear of the Lord, which feareth to lose the grace offered. Nor is he very wise after a manly sort, who in time of adversity or any trouble whatsoever beareth himself too despairingly, and feeleth concerning me less trustfully than he ought. 4. He who in time of peace willeth to be over-secure shall be often found in time of war over-dispirited and full of fears. If thou knewest always how to continue humble and moderate in thyself, and to guide and rule thine own spirit well, thou wouldest not so quickly fall into danger and mischief. It is good counsel that when fervor of spirit is kindled, thou shouldest meditate how it will be with thee when the light is taken away. Which when it doth happen, remember that still the light may return again, which I have taken away for a time for a warning to thee, and also for mine own glory. Such a trial is often more useful than if thou hadst always things prosperous according to thine own will. 5. For merits are not to be reckoned by this, that a man hath many visions or consolations, or that he is skilled in the scriptures, or that he is placed in a high situation, but that he is grounded upon true humility and filled with divine charity, that he always purely and uprightly seeketh the honor of God, that he setteth not by himself, but unfeignedly despiseth himself, and even rejoiceth to be despised and humbled by others more than to be honored. 1. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Chapter 8. Of a low estimation of self in the sight of God. I will speak unto my Lord, who am but dust and ashes. If I count myself more, behold, thou standest against me, and my iniquities bear true testimony, and I cannot gainsay it. But if I abase myself, and bring myself to naught, and shrink from all self-esteem, and grind myself to dust which I am, thy grace will be favorable unto me, and thy light will be near unto my heart, and all self-esteem, how little soever it be, shall be swallowed up in the depths of my nothingness and shall perish forever. There thou showest to me myself, what I am, what I was, and whither I have come, so foolish was I and ignorant. If I am left to myself, behold, I am nothing, I am all weakness. But if suddenly thou look upon me, immediately I am made strong and filled with new joy. And it is great marvel that I am so suddenly lifted up, and so graciously embraced by thee, since I am always being carried to the deep by my own weight. 2. This is the doing of thy love which freely goeth before me and succoureth me in so many necessities, which guardeth me also in great dangers, and snatcheth me, as I may truly say, from innumerable evils. For verily by loving myself amiss I lost myself, and by seeking and sincerely loving thee alone, I found both myself and thee, and through love I have brought myself to yet deeper nothingness. Because thou, O most sweet Lord, dealest with me beyond all merit, and above all which I dare ask or think. 3. Blessed be thou, O my God, because though I be unworthy of all thy benefits, thy bountiful and infinite goodness never ceaseth to do good even to ingrates and to those who are turned far from thee. Turn thou us unto thyself, that we may be grateful, humble and godly, for thou art our salvation, our courage, and our strength. 1. Psalm 73, verse 22. Chapter 9. That all things are to be referred to God as the final end. My son, I must be thy supreme and final end if thou desirest to be truly happy. Out of such purpose thy affection shall be purified, which too often is sinfully bent upon itself and upon created things. For if thou seekest thyself in any matter, straightway thou wilt fail within thyself and grow barren. Therefore refer everything to me first of all, for it is I who gave thee all. So look upon each blessing as flowing from the supreme good, and thus all things are to be attributed to me as their source. 2. From me the humble and great, the poor and the rich, draw water as from a living fountain, and those who serve me with a free and faithful spirit shall receive grace for grace. But he who will glory apart from me, or will be delighted with any good which lieth in himself, shall not be established in true joy, nor shall be enlarged in heart, but shall be greatly hindered and thrown into tribulation. Therefore thou must not ascribe any good to thyself, nor look upon virtue as belonging to any man, but ascribe it all unto God, without whom man hath nothing. I gave all, I will receive all again, and with great strictness require I the giving of thanks. 3. This is the truth, and by it the vanity of boasting is put to flight. And if heavenly grace and true charity shall enter into thee, there shall be no envy, nor straitening of the heart, nor shall any self-love take possession of thee. For divine charity conquereth all things, and enlargeth all the powers of the soul. If thou art truly wise, thou wilt rejoice in me alone, thou wilt hope in me alone. For there is none good but one, that is God, one, who is to be praised above all things, and in all things to receive blessing. 1. Luke 18, verse 19. Chapter 10. That it is sweet to despise the world and to serve God. Now will I speak again, O my Lord, and hold not my peace. I will say in the ears of my God, my Lord and my King, who is exalted above all, O how plentiful is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. But what art thou to those who love thee, what to those who serve thee with their whole heart? Truly unspeakable is the sweetness of the contemplation of thee, which thou bestowest upon those who love thee. In this most of all thou hast showed me the sweetness of thy charity, that when I was not thou madest me, and when I wandered far from thee, thou broughtest me back that I might serve thee, and commandedst me to love thee. 2. O fountain of perpetual love, what shall I say concerning thee? How shall I be unmindful of thee, who didst vouchsafe to remember me, even after I pined away and perished? Thou hast had mercy beyond all hope upon thy servant, and hast showed thy grace and friendship beyond all deserving. What reward shall I render thee for this thy grace? For it is not given unto all to renounce this world and its affairs, and to take up a religious life. For is it a great thing that I should serve thee, whom every creature ought to serve? It ought not to seem a great thing to me to serve thee, but rather, this appeareth to me a great and wonderful thing, that thou vouchsafest to receive as thy servant one so poor and unworthy, and to join him unto thy chosen servants. 3. Behold, all things which I have are thine, and with them I serve thee, and yet verily it is thou who servest me rather than I thee. Behold, the heaven and the earth which thou hast created for the service of men, they are at thy bidding, and perform daily whatsoever thou dost command. Yea, and this is little, for thou hast even ordained the angels for the service of man. But it surpasseth even all these things, that thou thyself didst vouchsafe to minister unto man, and didst promise that thou wouldest give thyself unto him,